This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio Ignition. Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, we are back. We are now back on the air. Talking a little NASCAR. We got a little IndyCar. We got a little NHRA drag racing. We got all kinds of stuff. I had like a brush with superstardom and fame. Yeah, it's all happening. And we are in the WFO Radio studios in beautiful South Florida. That is not too beautiful at the moment, but we're going to get through. And if you are a listener on iHeartRadio, if you're a listener on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on the World Wide Web, if you're using your phone, if you've got a can with some string attached to another can, well, welcome to you. We always like to say what's up and hello to the first-time listener, whoever you may be. And invite you back to listen to our program and tell you in advance, you're not going to understand what we're talking about at first, at the very beginning. You will not get the nature of the show, the humor. You got to stick around. It's one of those things where they tell you, you got to get through at least an episode and it will grow on you. And you'll be like, wow, I hate those guys like poison, but they actually do kind of sound interesting. And then the next thing you know, you're here every week and you're part of the community and you're all about it. So that's where we're at. That's the pitch. Stick around. Hopefully you will enjoy it. Kurt Busch wins out there in Richmond. Supposed to be Saturday night. They got washed out. We were in Houston at Royal Purple Raceway with the NHRA, and we were dodging raindrops, but we did not get washed out. We got it in. They got rain postponed till Sunday, which was unfortunate. I was looking forward to a little live NHRA drag racing against toe-to-toe with IndyCar for ratings domination of the motorsports world on Sunday, just to see what went down. But it didn't work out. NASCAR ended up on Sunday. Kurt Busch dominated the race. Would you call that? Does that qualify stinking out the show? I think so, maybe. We'll get into it. But first, before we go any further, there's somebody else here. The great Giovanni in Miami.
Well, all right.
There he is. What's up, Gio in Miami?
What's going on?
Now, what were you watching on the Sunday afternoon? You had IndyCar, you had NASCAR, you had live NHRA, Mellow Yellow drag racing, all kinds of great stuff, basketball and hockey and just thousands of things to choose from. The Yankees were probably on. No, that was Sunday night baseball. But what were you watching? What were you locked in on?
Well, I had the NASCAR race on, and then when the drag racing came on, I had that on the other tuner recording. Had a little basketball going on the computer, on the iPad thing, on the TNT.
You're very soft-spoken today.
Why? No, you have me low over there.
I've got you in your normal place. You're just very soft-spoken.
No.
You're very...
No, I don't feel like if I'm any different.
Well, it's not about feeling. So you were just checking it all out. How did the drag race come across live TV?
Well, the live is so much better. It's just... I prefer it 1,000%. They should just do live every weekend. I don't know what logistical nightmare it is or isn't, but I heard Jack Beckman was a little bit kind of... Oh, the live kind of makes everybody hurry up, and that's why we didn't win.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that at all.
He said that at the end of the... It sounded like at the end in the post-race when they interviewed him. I guess he lost in the final?
Yes.
Kind of threw a shot at the fact that live, everybody's hurry, hurry. And I think they maybe could have made a mistake or... Nonetheless, I think the live is superior.
Well, clearly, without a doubt.
Makes it much more interesting. It's
NHRA was trending on Twitter and the whole thing. It was a great success. The Erica Enders winning and all of that covered on Nitro, not to mention the NHRA press conference is also in the archive. Not that you should stop listening to us at this moment. Of course not. You've already made your decision. You're locked in. But when this is over, if you're looking for an hour and 18 minutes of interesting questions and answers by the motorsports media of Erica Enders Stevens and Jack Beckman and John Force and Larry Dixon, the four drivers that they selected as the representatives of the great moments of the first quarter of the season, I thought it was pretty cool. I got a couple of questions in there. I rolled up my sleeves. I threw a couple of punches and then got out. that audio is in our clip section, so you can check it out. So, Kurt Busch wins in NASCAR. Joseph Newgarden wins in IndyCar in pretty dominant fashion. They're out there at Barber Motorsports Park. F1 was off, but there's still plenty to talk about. Jeff Gordon, going to drive the pace car at the Indy 500. So this guy's got senioritis already. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He's taking gigs and celebratory.
Yeah, he's calling the Infinity Series.
Yeah.
He's going to go fly over to Indy in the morning, come back to Charlotte for the 600 right after.
Right.
Well, he's not even going to be rushed because he's just going to drive the pace car and get out. He doesn't have to be there all day.
No, he does. He's just going to do the ceremonial driving of the pace car. But he couldn't wait till next year to do that when he's retired. Do you think his team and his guys are like, dude, where are you? Why are you going to do that? I'm okay with it. But
Jeff
here
Gordon's got carte blanche, man. Nobody's going to question
whatever he wants.
He's doing.
Yeah, well.
Well, they shouldn't. If they do, they have no business questioning.
He's driving the Indy 500 pace car. A lot of fans wonder why he never tried to drive the Indy 500, period. He had the opportunity, but I think it's cool, too. Wonder what is the pace car. I think it is a new Corvette, Z06, I believe. That's one for looking up. Check it out. Something big going on Friday. Speaking of NASCAR and the conclusion of the season here at beautiful South Florida, Homestead Miami Speedway tickets on sale this Friday. Friday. Get your tickets for Ford Championship Weekend. Certainly one of the most beautiful venues on the tour. The final race, Jeff Gordon's final points race, where he's running for championship points at some point, potentially. He could be in the final four for the championship. We do not know. Now, he may run some independent individual races at some point in the future, so I don't want to say this is his final race, the time he will ever suit up in a race car, but certainly the conclusion of his final season. And you can get your tickets. We're going to hear from Homestead Miami Speedway president Matt Beecher on the show, going to tell us all about it. We're going to try to compel the WFO radio audience to get some tickets. See, I've got this strange fantasy. Not that kind of fantasy. Different. About the WFO radio audience, like one of these years, we plan it out well in advance. And we let everybody know that this is the year we want to get the WFO radio audience to come down to Homestead Miami Speedway, on your own dime, of course, and take part in Ford Championship Weekend, the conclusion, the Super Bowl, if you will, of the NASCAR chase, and check out our home track and watch the racing and all of that stuff. Now, maybe this is the year for you Jeff Gordon fans, and we're going to be there. It's the week before Thanksgiving. That will be great. Everybody, you know, comes down, and they all stay at Giovanni's house. Well, that's a joke, clearly. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, we're 10 minutes into this show, and you haven't mentioned Meerkat at all. And there was a big, huge debate going on about Meerkat and about Periscope. And for those, like, I was not going to even do it this week. I was just going to totally blow it off and get right back to our roots, audio entertainment. But at the last second, I decided that's a big mistake. Everybody is using Meerkat and Periscope, but in actuality, it's all Periscope now. Meerkat has been destroyed. The death blow has happened. It's like Game of Thrones. Periscope jumped on top of Meerkat and squeezed its head and squished it. Because at the track, I was bouncing around, and I popped up the Periscope a couple of times, and I got like 10 people, 12 people. People are following me now on Periscope. I don't know what the deal is. WFO Radio. Meerkat, one dude. And I forget what it was, but it was the coolest thing ever that I was seeing. I know you're saying to yourself, well, you forget. So how cool could it be? And I don't know. I think it's going to have to be like JJ or Brian Spink or one of those guys, whoever it was who was on there. It was literally the coolest thing ever. And I'm just forgetting what it is. Because that, you know how it is after a big weekend, all this stuff going on. But I was thinking to myself, man, if only people knew I was on this freaking thing. This would be the coolest thing that has ever been meerkatted ever. On the flip side of it, and we've got the camera positioned over there, first acknowledgement. Is there anyone even on there? Gio, you're the one monitoring.
Yeah, there's four.
Four. See? Weak. So weak. And the time we choose to do the
Rudy,
show.
Rudy, Brian, right. OBX, Beach Bum.
Hey. And who else?
And Gio.
than Gio. So three. There's three dudes on there. It's terrible. The time we picked to do the show right in afternoon drive East Coast is not really good.
Well, it's not conducive to people being able to watch.
Sit around, right.
Because they're on the phone.
Stare at their garbage. Exactly. But I it's kicked into gear, and I am the reason I want to continue doing it is because I really feel like we can and have blazed the trailblazers, if you will, this new technology in the world of auto racing. But just like is everything else, here we are, we're blazing a trail, we're doing our thing, and the second everybody else catches up, they just bulldoze us from behind. Just roll right over the top of us and onto the trail. Because now the John Force guys are doing it. Now the Coletta guys are doing it. Everybody's doing it. They're all doing it. If you're not on Periscope, if you're not using it, you are behind. And there were some really cool moments that I experienced that, you know, I'm always trying to, like, push the technology to see what I can do, what can I do with it, despite my keyboard illiteracy. And I was on the starting line. And at the same time, I was watching my screen, watching the John Force Racing team go down to pick up Courtney Force in real time. And they jump out of the vehicle, and they walk up and put the camera right in her mug. And I'm like, this is happening now. Same with Coletta Motorsports. Lighting one of their cars in the pits. Warm up. It's happening now. I can actually check in with the different teams and see what's going on and what they're doing right now. And they were all using Periscope. It's like not one person bothered to try Meerkat, in spite of the higher quality. So I don't know. I think.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen the Periscope. I don't know that the quality itself is any. It's worse.
It's worse.
Really?
Yeah. My opinion. It's worse. It's fuzzier. We're looking at it right now.
Yeah. I can understand, but no, I don't think it's terrible. I just think that the whole communication process, at least today it worked.
You were able to find it.
Yeah. Look, Brian sent a message, but it went away. I couldn't see now.
See, that's it.
And now you're gone. Everything's gone. I'm out. Bye. Yeah. Here, now I'm back. Okay. But yeah, no, that's it. The message was gone, and I couldn't see. He said something about that you were on the bus. Cool thing. He was at work.
No, that wasn't it, though. But I was on the bus to the airport. And I had some people riding along with me on the bus to the airport.
Oh, I think I saw a little bit.
And I was hanging the thing right out the side of the bus, and it was like you were going to smash into the wall. It was pretty cool. It was a very strange perspective. I'm sure a lot of people got sick on their way, something of which I take absolutely no responsibility on. So anyway, let's get into our NASCAR results. We got Matt Beecher coming up in a little bit. We got the Hippie Tippy. We're going to open the phones, which I don't even know why. I don't even know what the point is to open the phones. But we'll do it. We'll see what happens. Maybe someone wants to call in and communicate with us about all that is going on in the world. Oh, look at this. This guy's going to miss out. Android mobile user, I will listen to the archive. Yeah, well, you really should be listening to the archive instead of watching the whole show on Periscope. Because I can't track the Periscope numbers. I can't do that. Like, hello, Mr. Sponsor Person. And we had 9 additional people watching on the Periscope. You know, when we're selling stuff, it's not how it works. So, regardless, we will just continue to go. But at least we're doing it. At least we're doing. Here are the results for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action out there at Richmond. What was it? The Toyota Owners 400?
400. The Pontiac Excitement 400?
The Chevy Rock and Roll 400.
All of those were great.
Yeah, they were. They love the manufacturer sponsorships up there in Richmond.
Makes sense.
The Pontiac Excitement 400. I miss Pontiac a lot. There's so many cool Pontiacs out there at the racetrack. You know, the Pontiac people, we're without a country right now, which is kind of twisting in the wind. Kurt Busch wins the race, leading 291 laps.
That's it? Seems like if it was more than that.
Well, I watched the race today.
Seems like he led every lap to me.
I watched the race today. As you know, I was out there working, and I could not watch the race. So I kind of do the Cliff Notes high-speed DVR through the race. And I love that they put, like, the standings up there. So I'm just kind of watching the restarts, clicking the thing to three arrows on DirecTV, blazing through, and staring.
Wow, three is pretty fast, man. I usually watch on two.
Yeah, no, that takes too long. We got to do three.
Three is what I go through the commercials at.
No, I go through the commercials at 4.
No, you see, when you go to four, and then when you press stop, it backtracks too far.
You got to know how to do it, man. You got to do it. Look, it's about the handle.
How to do it, all right.
You can't. You obviously can't handle the speed, man.
Well,
what
obviously.
Is it? Are you afraid of a little speed?
No, not afraid at all.
So every time I see the name change at the top, I stop and I go back and watch what happened. And so I got to see what's going on, a fair amount of stuff, some pit stops, the whole thing. It was basically Joey Logano, Joey Logano, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Kurt Busch, Kurt Busch, Kurt Busch, Kurt Busch. The whole time, Jamie McMurray for like a millisecond, and then Kurt Busch dominating, winning the race, getting it done, proving that he is innocent of all charges. What are you laughing at? Why are you smiling?
I'm not laughing at anything. I'm not even laughing.
You don't think this victory totally absolves him of all wrongdoing now?
Absolves him of nothing.
Yeah, well, he wasn't even... There's nothing, exactly. He's back to hero status among his fans.
He never left hero status among his fans.
It was interesting in the post-race...
By the way, I did see that girl got attacked on Twitter by a Kurt Busch fan.
Oh, did she?
Which is horrible.
It is horrible. It's horrible. They should just be left alone. They should just be happy, and that's it. And go about their business. Not get involved with that stuff. Because she may, you know, make a move. Who knows? It's just an ugly situation. Kurt goes, your personal life and your professional life can be kept independent. And he went out and won the race. Look, the kid is a driver. Nothing else. The kid can wheel. But almost more impressive to me, though, is Kevin Harvick's second.
This guy. Harvick.
I would like to delve more deeply into the statistics at some point and get a little analysis on this run dating back to last year. Like, this may be the most dominant run of any driver in the modern era. The only times he has not finished in the top two are when he just gets taken out, like something silly, like last week in Bristol, where he was running up front and just couldn't stop and ran into someone who crashed. Like, that is... It's unbelievable what they got going on. I haven't checked the fantasy results yet.
Yeah, he should have won that race, too.
Yeah? Kevin Harvick was second, Jimmy Johnson third. Jimmy Johnson, they're not running great, still run great. Pretty amazing. Jamie McMurray was fourth. Joey Logano fifth. Casey Kane, KFK sixth. Matt Kenseth seventh. Jeff Gordon eighth. Clint Bowyer ninth. And Martin Truex Jr., 10th. Ryan Newman, 11th. Kyle Larson, 12th. A.J. Allmendinger, 13th. Dale Earnhardt Jr., 14th. Got into it with a guy, this racer, another racer, and Dale Jr. got into it.
No way.
Dale Jr. finished 14th, and the other racer's car number is 14. So it has something to do with the number 14 in the Cosmos.
Hmm.
What's up with your guy, Tony Stewart, man? Blaming Dale Jr.? I don't care about the accident. Sometimes things get out of hand and guys racing deal, you know, they contact each other. But all kinds of push notifications, when you blame Dale Jr. for something that everybody can clearly see it's not his fault, the social media world explodes. How many push notifications did you get? I got Bleacher Report, I got like Racing Super Insider, I got Max Racing, I got WFO, I got like 50 different push notifications that says Tony Stewart calls out Dale Jr. on crash. Dale Jr. says, huh? I know, you're not ready, you're not prepared with a statement yet as the representative of the Tony Stewart fans out there. But it is clearly a clash of two great NASCAR houses here. One on the ascent and one on the decline. And we will have to see.
Well, you can't even really compare. I mean, one is
two champions, a popular guy that everybody loves
because
the Daytona 500 wins.
His
multiple
genetics and the name.
The multiple Daytona 500 wins. But listen, we don't even need to go there. We're just
analyzing. Well, another guy is a three-time series
three
champion.
Times.
Three different series sponsors.
No, he's great. I love him. I just want to know why is he getting mad at Dale Jr.?
Look, the guy's having a hard time with these new rules package and
the new
car.
I thought they're friends.
Well, you know, in the heat of the moment, friends call each other out sometimes. You and I don't always get along.
He threw his helmet.
Most of the time we don't get along.
Threw his helmet and his Honda device.
You know, I've thrown stuff around before.
All right. Paul Menard, 15th. Chase Elliott, 16th. Brad Keselowski, 17th. Justin Allgaier, Lil Gator, 18th. Carl Edwards, 19th. Eric Almirola, 20th. Greg Biffle, 21st. Denny Hamlin, 22nd. 23rd. David Reagan in the 18. Trevor Bayne, 24th. Danica, 25th. Danica Patrick, losing GoDaddy as a sponsorship. GoDaddy gone.
But only on the car. She's still going to be the GoDaddy girl.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Why would they sponsor the car if they can still have Danica? Somebody new is going to come in. Danica is going to get a new super blockbuster
for
deal.
For sure.
I saw, I'll save it for later, about this subject, because I couldn't believe what I saw. You won't even imagine. Landon Castle, 26th. Austin Dillon, 27th. 28th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., a.k.a. the boyfriend.
Ugh.
Danica retakes the lead. Brent Moffitt. Do you have a head-to-head matchup on them over the course of the year? How many races?
No, but we'll have it.
Can you do that?
Not,
it's not too
not
much.
For today.
Why not? Six races. Brent Moffitt, 26.
Races.
You can do it while I interview Matt Beecher.
Nine races.
Well, I got one finished already for you, Danica.
And we know last week he finished higher because he had a top 10.
So it's 1-1. Brent Moffitt, 29th. Casey Mears, 30th. David Gillen. Where are the audience members to do this kind of stuff? That's one of the things about the live program is that you would have like thousands of little producers to crunch the numbers. Right now we've got four people on Periscope. How many are on there?
Three.
Three on Periscope? This is ridiculous.
I heard Rudy say that he was going back to work that until you put a hot chick in front, he wasn't going to watch anymore.
Well, that ain't
But
happening.
He's still on there, me, Rudy, and Brian. That's
not
it,
enough.
Man.
I think we're going to have to go back to the Meerkat.
There was more on Meerkat.
There was.
And all this Periscope is great. Periscope
Why can't
great.
We get as many people on Periscope?
Maybe not so great.
Two dudes in a studio as John Force Racing at the track. Like, what's up with us?
I don't know.
They hate us like poison. Moffitt, Mears, Gilliland, Bowman, Annette, Reed Sorensen, Sam Hornish, Cole Witt, Mac DiBenedetto, Jeb Burton, Alex Kennedy. That's like a combination between Jeb Bush and John Kennedy. I just noticed that. Jeb Burton and Alex Kennedy. Jeff Green, Tony Stewart, Josh Wise, Joey Gase. That rounds out the field, and those are the results from Richmond. Do you have audio from the winner? And the answer
yes.
is you do? What?
Yes, yes, surprise, surprise. Here comes Kurt Busch for you.
Well, today is a great day of total team execution. I mean, it starts with building a fast race car back at the shop and coming to the racetrack and fine-tuning it and... Really a great effort from team communication because we felt like we were a fifth place car after practice and the way that the team looked at things. We even qualified better than what we thought, and there was still this realization of, hey, let's continue to fine tune it. Let's not ignore the lack of speed that we don't have. Let's go for it all. And that's what Tony Gibson did along with Johnny Klossmeyer, our engineer. Everybody chipped in. I mean, the tire guy had some health problems this weekend, and we had to bring in a backup tire guy. But then Jet made it back to the track to enjoy Victory Lane with us today. And why I tell that long story is it's all about team people and chemistry within the organization. And for us, the last few weeks, we've not given away wins, but we've made some small mistakes, and we've had some things go against us that it made us stronger. It really put a bond between all of us to go, you know what? This 41 Haas Automation Chevy's got some speed. The wins will come. We don't need to force it. And let's just settle in for the long run. And so here we are. We're winners in April. It feels good. Plenty of time to do fun things to build the team up, get stronger, learn from all these races coming up, and continue to go forward. Like Gene Haas said, one win's great. I want four or five more.
You want 11 more wins. That was a very long journey in a conversation wrapped in a statement. Kurt Busch. Look, he's in the chase. Boom.
That's it. He's happy.
That's it. It's such a great system. We're going to have Matt Beecher on to talk about the Final Four at Homestead Miami Speedway. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Plus, we got Fantasy League stuff that I haven't even gotten into. We're going to make the big switch from Periscope back to Meerkat, see how it goes.
Brian, will you be upset by that?
Yeah.
Is he the only one on?
People can switch back and forth.
Brian, I think Brian has both.
They should all have both.
Oh, well, I do, so if they I do, everybody should.
You should have both, clearly. Because we're finding our way. And what they should be doing is when they see it, they need to retweet and say, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. You got to see it. Check it out. It is. It's a girl. She's, naked, showering to get clean.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of something that would make people want to watch. Not two dudes in the studio just talking
Irish
racing.
Spring.
Yes. But anyway. Had a great time out there in Houston, and I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled, with the sheer volume of people that came up to me and said, hey, I listen, more than ever before at any track, which is pretty impressive. It's usually in Dallas, or there have been a couple of times where we've had a large volume of people do it.
Because we're big in Texas, man.
Apparently, yeah, that's true. It's real deal, Holyfield true. Because, you know, who would have thunk it? There's a lot of racing fans.
We like
fans.
Steaks and Chevy trucks.
Exactly. But people were talking about, like in my brief conversations, you know, the different sponsors on the show and the different things that happen on the show. And a lot of people kept asking me about the General Counsel Club. Like, what's the story? What can I ask? What is it about? Is it, what do I get? Is that, you know, is that something that I could do even if I'm just now starting my business? If I've got a business going and I you know, I've got a buddy who helps me with my legal advice occasionally, is this a good thing to do? And I tell them, and I guess before I go any further, I need to say, I'm not an attorney at Spiegel and Utrera P. That's PA. That's very important for you to know. I am not an attorney at Spiegel and
Utrera
PA. Wow,
are you serious? You never passed the Florida bar? I thought you
yet.
Were in.
No.
Oh.
I know. It's pretty shocking, but it is what it is. But as we talk about everything that goes into successful businesses, and we talk about different things, about building relationships, and along the way, there is no substitute for sound legal advice that may help you avoid costly mistakes. And that's the whole point of the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times, about agreements, about contracts, about entities, about taxes. How to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, these things. And we had Larry Spiegel on the show not long ago. His interview is in the clip section. You can check it out and listen exactly to what he has to say. But right now, from New York to L.A., Chicago to Miami to Houston and all points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. So for 30 days, you have access to unlimited business and legal advice. They send you a printed newsletter, the Entrepreneur's Alert, with all kinds of great information. Get access to an 800 number to call toll-free to ask your questions. Here's how you get it. Go to WFOradio.com, our homepage. And there is a banner ad on the right-hand side that says AmeriLawyer.com. Click it and enter your information. No credit card, no obligation, no cost, none of that. They want your address to send you the printed newsletter and your email address to send you email alerts. WFO Radio listeners will get 30 free days in the Spiegel and Utrera General Counsel Club. Here are some of the things. How to buy or sell a business. What are legitimate business expenses for tax purposes? This is one I love for the racers out there. Converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses. How do you do that? Leasing versus buying options for vehicles, real estate, equipment, IRS examinations, audits, liens, levies, deficiencies, settlements, trademarks, copyrights, creation of business entities, the drafting of documents, contracts, and legal agreements. They've got it all covered. They're big WFO radio sponsors. They've been on board with us for a while now. And they understand that the racing community is flush with people that want to do something more. Build a business. Make it into something. Figure out the best way to organize it to get the largest return and the most protection. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership. That is the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. Knowledge is power, and knowing that the General Counsel Club's one phone call away may give you the confidence to succeed and rest well at night. We'll be back with Matt Beecher from Homestead Miami Speedway after this. Then we'll get into fantasy results, Formula One, and I'll tell you about my near-famous, almost-famous a moment, like I was this close to being an A-list celebrity, but it all came tumbling down. We'll be back after this on WFO
this
Radio.
Is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Holly School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
WFO Radio Ignition. Following up a little Richmond action, IndyCar was in action. I was out there in Houston with the NHRA. It was all great stuff and had a good time, but we're getting ready for Talladega, a little FFRR. I'm going to see who's going to take that. But right now, kind of big news regarding the South Florida community. As you all know, Homestead Miami Speedway is our home track, and each year we are fortunate enough to see who is crowned the champion. And I only wish that at some point in the future we can get the WFO radio audience down here in some sort of group or mass to take part in Homestead Ford Championship weekend. It is such a great event, and this year is extra special, being that it's going to be Jeff Gordon's last race. Well, tickets go on sale this Friday. So if you want them, you can get them. And joining us now to talk all about it, he's the president of Homestead Miami Speedway, Matt Beecher. Matt, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. This is exciting, thinking about the way the season has played out already, the second year of the new playoff system that was, I think, above and beyond anyone's expectations last year, and knowing that it's Jeff Gordon's final race.
Yeah, we're really pumped. I mean, last year when that championship format announcement was made, we knew that we had something special, and we really hoped for something special. And as you just mentioned, it played out exactly that way. I mean, the entire year, especially the chase and especially the Ford EcoBoost 400 here at Homestead Miami Speedway was just unbelievable. The championship four were racing at the front all day. Back and forth. I mean, it was pretty much Logano's race to lose, and he did with a bad pit stop there towards the end. Had an awesome event with Kevin Harvick winning that championship. A fantastic off season after that big sellout. And you're right, we're going on sale with our tickets again for 2015 on Friday. It's going to be a huge event, not just because of the second year of that championship format, but like you said, with Jeff Gordon's retirement, I mean, this isn't just any retirement. This is an icon. This is, you know, right up there with Richard Petty when he retired. So we're excited. We're really proud to be the host of his last race, last full-time season race. My guess is we're going to see that guy behind the wheel at some point in the future, but we're really pleased. I know our fans are pumped.
Oh, absolutely. I do agree. Jeff is going to run some races here and there, I'm sure. It was just announced that he's going to drive the pace car for the Indy 500, so it's almost like he might have a little senioritis at this point, knowing it's his final full-time points year, but he's getting a lot of the big things out of the way. But if I was a Jeff Gordon fan around mm-hmm. the country, around the world, and I could be here for that, that would certainly be a life experience to put down on the old bucket list.
No, it would. I mean, when you look at the length and success of his career, and then the success that he's had, it's pretty remarkable. And you know, it's a day that frankly I never thought I'd see coming. I mean, he's a contemporary of mine, and you know, to think of a guy at, you know, in his mid-40s retiring makes me feel a little bit old. But it is. It's a historic moment in NASCAR. Something our fans are real excited about. We're going to be doing something real special for Jeff that we'll announce later this summer as we get closer into the race. We're going to have some opportunities for fans to meet him, some other ticket packages and things that we'll be rolling out. But it's a huge, huge moment in NASCAR, and something that I know all of his fans are looking forward to in kind of a bittersweet way.
It's almost a good thing. Obviously, I'm disappointed and fans are disappointed. I really felt like Jeff could have raced for five more years and maybe pushed that triple-digit wins number and maybe even gone after David Pearson. Who knows? But he's ready, and if he's ready, we have to respect that. Kind of like Derek Jeter, when he said it was over, and that was that. But with Jeff going through this process, and who knows, maybe he'll be running for the championship. There's a very good chance of that. It almost provides some definite level of excitement, because it would be really hard to duplicate last year. It's almost like we have to lower the expectations of everybody, because last year in the first year was so perfect with Harvick winning the race to win the title.
No, you're right. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's going to be too rare moving forward. I really think that, you know, what we saw last year was certainly something special, but I do think it's something that we're going to see repeat itself more often than I think most people would imagine. And again, it's going to all depend on which four you get in there. Hopefully this year one of them is Jeff, but no, it's all about drama. The beauty of this new format is it's all about a sense of finality, right? So in past years, prior to 2014, drivers would come in here and they'd have to, you know, finish 29th or better or 19th or better or what have you to clinch. Now we know we're going to have four drivers all on equal footing when they come in here. It's going to be the best finisher among them that wins. And the only way to control your destiny is just to win the race outright. So I think you're actually going to see a little more of that than maybe what some people think, which is a great thing for us and all our fans here in Homestead.
Last year, it was so perfect. I know you guys do a debrief of everything that you have done through the course of the championship run and then, of course, the Ford 400. What kind of feedback did you receive from the local community? We have always, you and I have always talked about how it's a hard push to get the local community in South Florida to understand and then understand and appreciate and then ultimately embrace. From my perspective, I felt like the local community got it a lot better with the new format, embraced it more, understood it more. What was your experience following last year's race with the local South Florida community?
Yeah, no, there's no question, Joe. You're exactly right. I mean, I think in years past, and there's been a number of reasons. You know, Miami's not a traditional racing market, and, you know, up until 5 or 6 years ago, we had a very convoluted point system that made it hard for fans to really understand how what was playing out on track was going to translate into championship points. And, you know, we've taken care of that with the point system NASCAR has, and they've taken care of it now with the championship format. And to your point, we saw a massive shift last year in terms of the level of engagement of the local community, you know, for a lot of reasons. I think, first of all, the drama was at an all-time high. People understood what was going to be sort of at stake coming into the race and then saw it unfold. I think it's certainly easier to understand, and frankly, I think that you know, the team here is just doing a really good job at you know, in engaging our local fan base, you know, listening to our fans, rolling newer and bigger things out each year, you know, for your listeners that were out here last year. The way we did our driver introductions, as an example, completely changed. You know, we really made it a much more of a championship caliber, dramatic event as we introduced not only all 39 drivers, but the other four that were in contention as well, especially those other four. And so I think, you know, certainly the community has embraced us a little bit more. I think they understand what's at stake, and it's important. We just completed an economic impact study, and, you know, we generate about $301 million a year. The last Super Bowl that was in South Florida was $331 million. So, you know, it's a huge event. The difference between us and the Super Bowl is we occur each and every year. And so I like to think about our event as this sort of thing that it's good for everybody. It only gets better, though, if you actually come out. So if you're a resident, you've never been here, it's putting money in your pocket. It's putting money in the pockets of local businesses in town. And if you actually get a chance to come out here and you buy a ticket and have some fun, you really get to appreciate what NASCAR is all about and what it does for our community. It's a fantastic thing.
While we have a strong local listenership to WFO Radio, people that I have encountered over the years and an audience that I have built, we have a larger audience that is throughout the country, just racing fans wherever they are, listening on our app and on iHeartRadio and such. And my thought is that these people, and I know it because they tell me, they travel to different racing venues each year, and maybe they circle one or two that are on that bucket list. They want to go and see them all or see as many as they can. That's what racing fans do. And I'm always making a very strong, compelling argument for Homestead Miami Speedway. Like, this is one, a great way to end off the season. It's getting cool at that time, perfect weather. Many people are getting ready for winter in other parts of the country. This year, do you have anything in addition leading up that you can talk about at this point, or perhaps not, that ties the championship week together? Of course, we've got the trucks on Friday, Xfinity on Saturday, Cup on Sunday, so that's three races. But typically in the past, there's also some community events that help kind of get people excited about what's going on. And I think if I was going to travel to any city in the country, coming down to Miami where the beaches are awesome, there's all kinds of stuff, and then taking in some races, you guys have big concert shows, things happening on, it would be the perfect race fans vacation. Got anything you can tell us about at this point that may entice our listeners?
Yeah, we still have a lot that we're pulling together, Joe, but you're right. I mean, in past years, we've had everything from sailfish fishing tournaments to, you know, last year we had a big party right down in South Beach with a bunch of drivers and fans and sponsors and various members of the industry that, you know, a lot of our fans attended. We've got the Contenders Press Conference over at Trump National, which will occur on Wednesday to really kick the competitive part of race weekend off. And then, as you said, the trucks on Friday, the Nationwide guys on Saturday, the Cup race on Sunday. Other things will be baked into the week as the summer wears on, and we'll certainly announce that as it becomes relevant. But you're right, there's just a ton to do down here, not just if you're a race fan, if you enjoy spending time outside, if you enjoy fishing, fine dining, nightlife. I mean, South Florida has something for everybody. You can consume it any way you want. You can stay in downtown Miami. You can go down to the Keys. You can spend time out in the Everglades. And what's really cool is this year, where our date, because of the way the calendar works, slides back to the weekend before Thanksgiving, which is something that happens 5 out of every 7 years. And so people are going to come down, they're going to be able to go to the race, but then they're going to be able to turn a short week into a nice vacation over Thanksgiving. And that's something I know our fans have missed out on the last couple of years with the way the calendars work. But fortunately, we're back to that weekend before Thanksgiving window, and that's just good for everybody. If you talk to, you know, people at the CVB or people around town, they love the fact that we're putting Miami on the map at a time of year when everybody up north is trying to figure out what they're going to to do with their winter vacation. And guys like me who grew up in Michigan can really appreciate how great it is to be in 81 degrees on a Sunday afternoon in November versus, you know, sitting up in your house and seeing the flurries start to come down and, you know, wondering when you're going to get hammered with that first big snowfall. So, now South Florida is great. This is a beautiful track. If for those fans of or listeners of yours that have never been here, it's definitely one that they need to check out. And I would do it sooner than later because it's getting tougher and tougher to get a ticket here. Fewer tickets went on are going to go on sale this year than they have in the past several years because we had such a high renewal rate. It's certainly a bucket list track for a lot of your listeners, but it needs to be a place that they come more often because it's going to be harder and harder to get a ticket here.
Absolutely, and of course we'll be there, which is a big bonus. You know, if they don't want to see Jeff Gordon or the championship winner, they can come down for us, the guys from WFO.
That's right, and if you have that infield pit pass, you'll find Joe sitting there under a tent doing a live broadcast on Sunday morning.
There you go. Now, hey, Matt, let me ask you, before we give all the ticket information, and hopefully our listeners will represent, when you watch a race at Richmond, where you came from previously, and you think of your time spent there, which is one of the coolest tracks out there, and I absolutely love it. That's where we first met, and
yeah,
just a cool short track. They didn't get to experience night racing this past week because of the rain, unfortunately, but you think about your natural progression from there to here, their hardcore NASCAR country to here, this kind of new market where everybody really has to fight really, really hard with everything for the attention of the race fan or the fan in general. What do you think about your own personal progression going through that from Richmond to here? And when you watch Richmond on TV, are you like awash with memories of the things that happened there?
Well, I am, and I always will be. You know, I started out at Rockingham, which isn't hosting NASCAR races anymore, and then from there went to Darlington before going to Richmond and coming here. I've got fond memories of everywhere that I've worked, and, you know, not just, you know, the races themselves. You know, the last race I ever worked at Darlington was the famous Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch, kind of bumping and banging to the finish line in the spring of 03. I mean, I've got on-track memories from a lot of those places, but, you know, also, you know, great memories from some of those different markets and both the successes and the failures on the job. You hit the nail on the head, Joe. I mean, Miami is a kind of a market that loves big events. And, you know, we love things like Super Bowls and NBA Finals and World Series and college football championships and Orange Bowls and things like that. And so as a promoter, you know, the onus is on me and the team here to make sure that we're delivering that. You know, when I was in Richmond, you would wave the green flag to start the race, and I could look behind the grandstand, and literally there wouldn't be a soul back there. Everybody was in their seat watching the race. We're here in Miami, you look behind the grandstand at any point during the race, and a third of the crowd is back there partying, carrying on, having fun, knowing that the race is happening 100 yards away. And so what that tells me is we need to do a good job of making sure we have content and activities for people to do during the race, because they're not going to sit in their seat and watch every single lap. They want to watch the race a different way here in Miami, and so it's our responsibility to deliver that. And regardless of what the differences are, that the challenges are always fun, the memories are always good, and you're right. When I see a race like I saw at Richmond this past weekend, I felt bad for those guys having worked there and having to suffer through that rain out. But then when I see the on-track action they get, it's awesome. It's a great track, only second to Homestead Miami Speedway.
Ford Championship weekend, November 20th through 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Matt, where can they get them, and what is the best way?
Yeah, well, the best way is probably homesteadmiamispeedway.com. We've got all kinds of information there, seat maps so you can see what seats are available, what ticket packages are available, if you want to buy a pit pass, if you want to look at information for all the other things occurring that week, or the Ford EcoBoost 200 on Friday or the Ford EcoBoost 300 on Saturday. All that information's up there. You can also give us a call, 866-409-RACE. We have people there from 9 to 9, 7 days a week, who can help you out. And then, of course, we are all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, things I've never even heard of, you name it, we're there. And you can find all the information you need online.
But are you guys meerkatting and periscoping yet? That's the question.
You know, I will tell you, Joe, we were one of the first tracks, I think one of the first venues, actually, to meerkat, and we are doing our fair share of periscoping.
That is great. Now, a couple of points I do want to make before you go. Kids, free on Friday and Saturday if they're 12 and younger. That is a good deal.
Yeah, they're free on Friday and Saturday in the general admission areas. On Sunday, we don't have general admission. Everything's a reserved seat, so on Sunday they're half price. So, you know, we really feel like it's important to make sure that the kids, you know, have an opportunity to come out here, parents to bring them. But it's more than just a cheaper seat. We have great content for kids. We've got different food offerings targeted at kids. We've got a kid zone where there's all kinds of activities where they can blow off some steam for an hour or so while mom and dad are relaxing in the shade. I mean, there's all kinds of different stuff. And as you know, Joe, coming to any kind of motorsports event, especially a NASCAR event, there's all kinds of interactive activities before the race gets started. Our great partners at Ford, they're in town today telling us about all the things they're going to be bringing to their display this year, which is this huge interactive area that they activate each and every November. So, yeah, kids are a huge part of what we do. They're the future. It's what our sport's built on and something we take really seriously.
That is absolutely awesome. It is HomesteadMiamiSpeedway.com, 866-409-RACE. They can do a flexible payment plan, all kinds of great stuff. You guys are really working it, and it's working. Clearly, we're seeing the difference. We're seeing the crowds. People are buzzing about it, and now the way it all ends with the four drivers battling it out, it is a true super race at the end of the season, and it's at Homestead Miami Speedway. Matt, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Hopefully, we can motivate the WFO audience, wherever they happen to be around the world, to spend their November with us down here. I'll be there. You know that. And it's something that I have come to absolutely appreciate, that we get to see each champion crowned. It's something very special that is unique to us in South Florida, and I love it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate you having me.
Matt Beecher with us here on WFO Radio. I am excited about the final race, except we got a whole bunch of races between now and then. You know, I was thinking about that. April is pretty much over. We're already in May. You know what's after May?
June
is after May. That is excellent. And that means that we're at the 50-yard line of the year already.
Not to the end of June.
But still, it's right around the corner.
We're definitely at the third post.
Well, beyond that.
Third of the way.
We're
4 months in. This is the fourth month.
Yeah, this is unreal.
So we're a third of the way.
Third of the way. The year is over. The holidays are coming. Black Friday sales are getting ready to get ranked up. The Home Depot's already got the lights up. It's crazy. Not yet, but close. Mother's Day is coming up next. It's really going to be interesting. It'll be interesting. So we have switched back to Meerkat now, just for those who are seeing how this all goes down. So, Gio, you're in charge of letting us know.
Four.
It happens earlier every year.
It's just me, Brian, and Eric Wilson is on now.
Yay!
1320 racer.
He's related to Jake, the junior dragster kid.
Oh, well, that'll do it right there. Jake, the big winner.
Started the great program where junior dragster racers
can
send us, P.O. Box, WFO Radio stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And we will send you back some stickers. And if you put them on your race car and punch the junior dragster into the winner's circle, you can be interviewed on WFO right alongside the stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Now, isn't that just a great program? Isn't that just screaming for a big title sponsor to pay for the stickers and be involved on it?
Absolutely.
I think it is. We're going to push that one. We're just getting to that point, folks. We really are. Where all the incredible marketing and media opportunities are presenting themselves for us. Now, I did promise I was going to say that, tell my story about Almost Famous and really how near I was to just total superstardom. And I will. But first, did we get a hippie tippy in? Did we get any of that stuff? I don't think so.
I don't know. I haven't. I did make a communication to the hipster, and I just never heard back from him.
Well, the hipster? What did he have to say? He might be on protest, you know, sometimes.
He was on vacay before, too.
Sometimes he's on the protest, and he gets a little angry about something. Last week, we did kind of cut him off kind of quickly. He doesn't know.
What's this we stuff?
We is in me and the mouse in my pocket.
Look, you steer the ship. Me. You are the captain. You are the jokester of the show. Not the Geo show.
No.
It's WFO Radio with Joe Costello.
Yes.
And the button pusher. Okay? So he's upset with you because you were cutting him off, and I think you maybe chastised him a little the whole, when he, you know, he got a little bit, you know, adult themed on the tippy a couple
weeks
ago.
Right? No, that we're all well beyond.
But
that.
You went from there to there. Oh, look, I think you touched a remote or something, and now you have some kind
of. Well, I was looking for it. The whole thing is working real slow today. And I really don't know what to do.
You're just not that good with the interface.
No, that's not true.
I know what it is. It's the fact that you have that thing so much stuff recorded, 2% free. When you have 98% capacity, the thing is working slow. You're overburdening it. Don't you ever delete anything?
Game of Thrones, NHRA. After a big weekend of racing, I got my IndyCar. I've got my everything.
How do you even have time to watch Dungeons & Dragons?
No, the answer is I don't, is really the answer. I don't get to see all of that stuff. I have to go back, and I have to do it. I got to watch Silicon Valley. I got to watch Veep. Silicon Valley is actually very funny. It is incredibly humorous and is totally up our angle as we pretend to be like kind of on the edges of new tech, you know, doing our podcast.
I understand what you're saying about that.
And so they're talking about some stuff, and it's very mocking of the... you know, the whole tech thing, venture capital, yada yada, et cetera, and so on. So it looks like we're not going to have a hippy tippy. Why don't we take the break after Matt Beecher? We'll come back and we'll reset this big dog and we'll get rolling, because we got people now. The Meerkat audience is like, wow, it's huge, it's tremendous. There's two. I guess the
is it?
No, I don't know. I just made that up. That's what I do. I just make things up.
Okay.
Well, what do you got?
Well, I don't know. I'm not on it. I was trying to communicate with the hippie. I see four.
Yeah, not enough. We need these.
One is double the other audience.
Isn't that the truth? Double.
There you go. Five. Here you go.
Oh, man. We're number one with a bullet.
There you go.
We're rocking it on. That is great stuff. All right. Well, since now that we've got five on the Meerkat and thousands on the listening on their own time, which is... really the number. That's who we do the show
for. That's the way to do it. On your own, whenever. Oh. If somebody else is in the room.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What is going on here?
On demand.
No, listen, I think that there's definitely something to be said for perhaps like everyone has checked it out now. They're checking it out and they realize what it is. It's going to be a distant camera, shaky camera of two dudes in a room. And they were like, all right, that's enough for us. We don't need to see that all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I did do, though? Oh, that's a great thing. That's what I remembered now. What I was periscoping that I thought everybody would think this is the coolest thing on the planet. I now know.
Okay.
Of course, I'm going to save it until after the break. I can't just drop it on you. I got all these great stories. And now I've got something that is definitely good enough to make you want to listen through this very short break that is going to come up after I tell you about Marvin Rodak and Rodak's Coffee. The interesting thing about doing these shows, these podcasts that people pretty much listen to most of it, unless you're Steve the Trucker who tries in vain to fast forward through the commercials, which is just, it's a failing proposition. I know I have a tough time dragging that little thing back and forth.
I think it depends on how you listen, but yeah. They're never more than 3 minutes, people. I do try to make that, you know, happen. They're usually about 220, 240.
Yeah, and we got our cool production.
I don't want to say never, but... As most as I can, I try to keep it to 3 minutes at the most. And it's about every 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, go listen to some other stuff and then tell me about a lot of commercials.
And what we
all
like to do is
radio.
You all spot radio. And you let your mind relax for a few seconds, because this is a very engaging program. And you've got to be in it and on it and sharp to listen, to understand the references, what we're talking about, all the chaos and mayhem. But at the same time, every week, you know, I'm going to tell you about Rodak's Coffee. And there's only so many different ways I can try to compel you to buy some coffee by calling Marvin. It's great coffee. It's awesome stuff. There's 40 different original blend flavors, plus blends, top 5% of coffee throughout the world. It's roasted special for you. This is gourmet stuff, people, not the stuff Bonnie buys at the store.
That's right. Stuff Bonnie buys is...
garbage.
Sewage.
So pick up the phone and call Marvin, who has all of a sudden had like a, what I would call a Twitter awakening, It's like one morning Marvin woke up and figured out that it would be a good idea to start tweeting pictures of awesome food on the grill.
Yeah, and the coffee and stuff.
It's genius. This guy has gone from like 20 followers to like 38 followers, which is still terrible, WFO radio audience. You should all be following Marvin, and for no other reason than to see all these great recipes. All these crazy things wrapped in bacon. It's like a filet. It's wrapped in bacon. It's just awesome. It's on the grill. He's got different grills that he's an authorized dealer for. Great stuff. 817-924-6821. Who's out there on the WFO line?
Hey, Joe, it's Mike Race Guitar. How are you?
Hey, Mike Race Guitar. We're in the middle of a Marvin Rodak spot. Can you hold on until the next break?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're going to be down in silence. You'll probably be able to hear us, but we can't hear you. And you just hang there, okay? Sit tight.
Yep. No sweat.
All right, there is Mike Race Guitar. He is out there. He's going to hang on through the break. We'll have our producer put you on hold.
There you go. I've got something to do now.
There it is. 817-924-6821. Exotic coffees, coffee wood, the hot sauces that Gio is just in there using an inordinate amount of hot sauce.
I was monitoring you. It's just a dunk. It's a regular dunk. I like to pour some out in a little bowl.
Right.
Not even a bowl. It's more like a monkey dish.
Yes. A what?
It's called a monkey dish. Look, what have you. Those in the industry understand. And you dunk the chicken wing in the sauce.
Well, that's great. And then,
I don't like just a couple of drops on it.
And then what do you do with the sauce that's not on the wing?
I keep rubbing it up.
And then eventually there's a whole bunch that's stuck
to
this monkey dish.
No, there's never anything stuck
to
the plate.
How do you get that off of the monkey dish?
With my finger.
And... Oh, yeah? You're not being wasteful?
Not at all. If I have to lick it off the plate, I do.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of tingling in my lips right now.
It's great stuff. And so here we are, and this is a challenge to... We've got new listeners that are listening for the first time. They're hearing about the coffee for the very first time. And then there's, like, hardcore old-school fans. Guys,
I drank some of that, too! Ah!
The reaction time, I think, was today's. No, today was WFO Radio Blend. Guys like the Money Man... Money Man, who is buying all kinds of Rodak's coffee and hot sauce and spice rubs and all kinds of stuff.
As gifts!
He knows how good it is, and he's got to hear us talk about it anyway. And so we try to flip the script and mix it up and make it cool and exciting. But here's the bottom line. The fact is, you can call Marvin. 817-924-6821. You can do it right now. 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin, I was just listening to these guys on WFO Radio. It sounds like a kind of a cool show, but I am into gourmet coffee, and I would love to tell my coffinista friends, if that's even a word, you know, the coffee files, that I have now discovered the newest, coolest, best gourmet coffee out there, and I want to put it in their face and tell them they don't know nothing with your Starbucks garbage. I'm rocking the Rodak. How do I do it? And Marvin will be very happy to send you some great coffee, and you can talk to him about what it is you want. 817-924-6821. Seriously. Isn't it like the McDonald's of coffee?
Joe does not mean anything disparaging towards other major corporations that we have no business with.
WFO Radio brought to you by Starbucks. No way. It's not going to happen. 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin. Been doing it since 1976. We're going to be back. We're going to reset. We're going to keep the meerkat rolling. It's going to be the greatest thing that has ever happened to us in our whole lives.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. All you iHeartRadio listeners, the Race Day Nation app, welcome to you. And we have started doing some new stuff here on WFO Radio. You may have noticed the SoundCloud. The SoundCloud. It sounds kind of frightening, actually. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. We initially used it with the Race Day Nation app, and I see a lot of people use it. And a lot of blog sites, news sites, they clip an interview, they want to put it like so-and-so was talking about something. And next thing you know, they put the SoundCloud there. And I kind of feel like some people are getting to the point where they associate that little waveform that comes across with safety and security. They know what it is. It just plays. Hawkenstuff was doing some research, and so we've started putting some things on SoundCloud. By no means does this mean you should not use the WFOradio.com website, of course, because there's just cool things like you cannot see the awesome YourVelocity.com banner ad without going to WFOradio.com. Again, I know that's an integral part of everybody's day. You want to go out there, you want to wait for the YourVelocity.com free business resource banner ad, you want to click it. You want to check it out? Check out some of the cool videos on there. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on there. Like, they're doing it over there. And they're on board with WFO, and they like what's going on. They even did one of their racetrack results things sponsored by us.
This program is brought to you by the Washington House.
See? It's at the Washington House, bringing us some sort of something. Business resource at yourvelocity.com. And so I think it's cool that people go to the website. We're actually investigating some new website stuff. I got together with Patrick the Webmaster down there in Houston, Texas. I was in the Woodlands. Do you know the Woodlands in Houston,
no,
Texas?
I
do you know
been
about
to
it?
Woodlands.
Oh, man. Well, the racetrack is in like.
It's been a long time since we've been down to Houston!
Yikes. What was that? Was it Kiss? I don't. Well.
That was Paul Stanley, yeah.
Gee whiz. Brutal.
Oh, thanks.
But we were in the Woodlands and checking it out, and I drove all around that. We were talking about new website stuff and some different things and some moves that are going to be made, and it's going to be great. So you sit tight, because we definitely need more stuff going on the WFO Radio website. But in the meantime, some SoundCloud action. So if you see SoundCloud coming at you, it seems very shareable. It seems very social media friendly. A lot of people are using it. And so we will put that up in addition to the WFO Radio app and the, you know, Stitcher and TuneIn and iHeartRadio and, of course, iTunes. Really, the easiest probable way to listen to the program is really iTunes. There are a lot of people that just use iTunes. That's it. If you don't have iTunes, then you can't listen. Tough. And iTunes works for everything. People with their phones and their newfangled devices. Listening on iTunes.
What are you, some kind of geezer? The newfangled devices?
Newfangled, the kids with their things and their music and their dancing.
These children. Why is everybody dancing?
They're dancing. Commies, their kids are learning how to fight. Our kids are dancing. You know what's funny is we got Mike, the race guitar guy, out there on the line.
Oh, my God. I forgot.
You forgot about him. I didn't forget about him. I knew he was there the whole time. Mike, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Good, Joe. Good. How are you?
I am spectacular. Never better.
Awesome.
So what do you got for us today?
I was wondering, man, IndyCar is doing the worst job promoting the series and the races.
I am not disagreeing with that. I don't know if it's partly me, because there have been times in my life where I've been very interested in what's going on in IndyCar. There have been times in my life where I've been less interested in what's going on in IndyCar. And very often, it depends on drivers that I'm interested in versus things that I'm interested in. When I was at XM, we covered the IndyCar series. I was doing pre-race shows. We had the Andretti Green Racing Hour. We were doing great live broadcasts from all the races. I got to be on stage with Gene Simmons throwing out hats, him and me. You throw one, Gene, I throw one. It was really great. So, of course, I was really interested in what was going on in IndyCar. I was keeping up. At this moment, the start to this particular season, remember, they lost their first race in Brazil. That was, it just folded up. St. Pete, I had my eye on. Very often they're against other events. And I don't know, it's been a tough start. For me, the IndyCar Series season starts at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I know they did St. Pete, New Orleans, Long Beach. Then I thought they were out until Indy, but I was getting tweets this weekend from a team I follow when they're telling me lap times and P6 and positions, and I'm like, oh, they must be at a test. Then I jumped online, I'm like, wait a minute, they're racing.
They're racing at Barber Motorsports Park, the Grand Prix of Alabama.
It was the craziest thing. I went and I looked at the IndyCar, and I get it. I'm drag-centric, you know, if there's a race going on, I know where it is and what's going on. So, but I mean, I keep my eye on the other series. I know NASCAR's in Talladega this weekend, but IndyCar, man, I had nothing. I had no notifications, nothing like, hey, there's a race or what have you. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I think that they have, again, it could be us. Joseph Newgarden won the race in pretty dominating fashion. Graham Rahal was second. We should actually be up on that because of Courtney Force and the fact that Graham is like now part of the drag racing family.
Yeah.
And so he was
a good guy. I made Graham at Epic last year.
Totally. Totally good guy. And something's going on with like the essence of racing hashtag. Courtney, they're tweeting, JFR is tweeting out photos of Courtney at like some photo shoot and like this little white sundress on the track. It kind of looks interesting. Looks a little racy, to be honest.
Behave yourself.
Looks a little racy to me. Hey, they're tweeting him out. I wouldn't know about it. But then
don't forget, Courtney was, I mean, okay, you couldn't see anything, but in the, I think it was what, that body mag shoot?
Yes.
Where it's just a couple of well-placed, you know, rear slicks, and it was like, well, that's
yeah, but that was very medical, though. That was all about health and fitness and muscle fibers and stuff, diet and exercise.
Tastefully done,
it was just, yeah, that was medical.
Tastefully done, yes.
But Graham Rahal was second, Scott Dixon was third, Will Power fourth, Ryan Hunter Ray was fifth, Carlos Munoz sixth, James Hinchcliffe was seventh, Sebastian Bourdais eighth, Simon Pagenaud ninth, and Marco Andretti was 10th. And those were the top 10 runners at the Grand Prix of Alabama.
Yeah, I know. I saw that Newgarden, because that's the team I follow, Carpenter Fisher, and they were tweeting out, and I was like, what are they talking about? And I had to go and look, and I was like, oh, look, the new team got their first win, what, four races in. Good job.
I want to see them on the ovals. I got an email the other day that Honda is going to unveil its Super Speedway Aero Kit. 2 p.m. on the 30th, and that will
that's
be done.
Tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to the show. And I'll be very interested to see what those look like compared to the road course ones. Clearly, they won't be as radical, but what will they look like? So that could potentially give some interest. And the Indianapolis 500 is still the greatest spectacle in racing. It's the an amazing event.
Yeah.
Even
Absolutely.
If they only have one. My real question is, obviously, we're heavily vested in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. I work with them for half the races as an announcer, and we love drag racing, you know, period. Yesterday, this past weekend, I should say, IndyCar and drag racing pretty much went head-to-head on television. ESPN2 for the drag racing and IndyCar on NBC Sports Network. And I wonder which one gets bigger ratings. I think that's kind of an interesting clash.
I would agree with that. That is a good question. But, I mean, just judging on... And again, I'm not in the IndyCar world circle, but I got to imagine, just if I didn't know that there was an IndyCar race yesterday, there's got to be other people that didn't know.
Oh, of course.
You know?
You cannot under-promote. It's about budget. It's about... Yeah. Look at our show. Not to compare everything to us, but it's a fun way to do it. Nobody knows this show exists. We've got a very nice audience, but you go out there and you see the grandstands, and they don't know that we exist just yet. That's why we need all our listeners to be very aggressive with their friends and let them know, because it's a grassroots thing.
Joe, I do my best.
You're doing a great job, by the way. I just want to say...
Hey, one other thing. What do you think... What are you hearing about, or what do you think... And I don't know if you've heard this. I know Bill France Jr. was doing a talk the other day, and he was talking about the fact that they were looking at changing the length of races because they thought that some of the NASCAR races were too long.
I didn't see that. Do you mean Brian France?
Brian France, yeah.
Brian
sorry.
France. I didn't see that. If that's the case, I agree with it wholeheartedly, and that's something that we have been pushing on this show for a long time because it's just the right thing to do.
That's so interesting to me because... I mean, you and me both, I suspect, but I'll go spend 8-9 hours at a drag strip. It doesn't even bother me, but I can't imagine that spending 4 hours at a NASCAR race is a huge hassle.
I think it's for the television audience in particular, because so many people, they just don't have what amounts to be about 4.5 hours to devote to anything.
Everything comes down to TV now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And look at where all their money is coming from. And at a drag strip, you're not in the stands watching cars go down the track for 9 hours. You're in the pits. You're talking to a driver. You're getting a soda. Yeah. You're hanging out with some other fans. You spend 20 minutes, socializing with fans from other places and kind of meeting up. And it's like a social environment. NASCAR race is not like that. It's like going to a football game. And the fact of the matter is, many of the tracks have about a 20% dead period somewhere in the race where the drivers have made the conscious decision to just get to the next phase of the race.
Yeah, to roll out the laps on a 500, lap race. Let's just sit here, roll around 150 laps just to get it out of the way.
You can't finish first if you don't first finish, and they all know that, and they ride. And that part of the race, what is the point? If anything can be learned from the Formula One races, of course they would love more passing and more competitiveness, but it doesn't take a huge time investment to knock out a Formula One race. From start to celebration, it's about 90 minutes or so, 2 hours, and you can watch the whole race and be gone, done, mow the lawn, hang out with the kids, go to the beach, race yourself. You can do whatever you want. Not saying NASCAR needs to be that short, but they definitely could trim some stuff out of it. And also, any track that the distance puts the finish in like a weird fuel window where people are encouraged to try to make it and it kills the end of the race, I think they should definitely shorten them to take it out of that fuel window. Just my opinion.
All right, hey, listen, I'll let you go, Joe. Support your local track. I tweeted out, speaking of Formula One, I just tweeted you a pic.
Okay.
Have fun with it. WFO rules.
WFO, thank you. Appreciate
it. Talk to you soon.
I love that guy. He's north of the border in Canada.
Duh.
What are you saying, Canada?
Hey.
Oh.
Nice goal, eh?
Where's your toque, eh?
There's hockey going on now.
You hoser. Listen, everything I know about Canada, and we're alienating our Canadian audience, which is terrible. I don't want to do that. I love our Canadian audience. Listen, what we are from, what we know about the Canadian types, we learned from the movie Strange Brew, initially, as little children. And then clearly...
Canadian bacon.
Well, that is just awesome. Canadian bacon. Now, I have been promising this great story. I did remember what I was periscoping.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You don't say.
Now I'm
going to
throw it out.
Back to that.
Well, I teased it. We got anybody on there? Is anybody watching?
Yes.
One guy. One dude. It's like leering in.
No, there's 10 people.
No way. That's insanity. We need to look at them. What's up, people?
Well, five here now, actually.
Oh.
Rich, Brian, Eric. Can't see the others.
So one of them, the other day, here's what happened. I got back from Houston on Monday at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And it was great, but travel, these people who travel all the time, I don't understand how you do it. Because it sucks the life out of me, really. It's like you land from the plane, you get off the plane, you get home, you drop your stuff, and there are a large number of people that they like go to work. You know, they're doing their stuff. They're, you know, they go right into gear. Like, all right, now I'm back. It might as well have been like they're back from lunch. And it just doesn't work like that for me. When I've gotten up early and dropped off a rental car and gotten on a plane and all of that stuff, I get home, I'm zonked. I'm zonked. And I get a call from Paulie the White Guy. Paulie the White Guy, our great friend who does the Yankee Roll Call show very rarely with me occasionally, he's like, hey, I got tickets to the Marlins game. You need to come. And I'm like, nah, you know, Marlins. He's like, Marlins versus Mets, come out to the game. I'll drive, free tickets, all you can eat seats. It's like, well, that's sounding very compelling. So, and I got a really long story that's going to be condensed into just a few seconds. We go there, and it turns out it was totally misrepresented. They were not all-you-can-eat seats. They did not accept the ticket as all-you-can-eat seats.
Say what?
Yeah, it was very annoying. So now I'm having to battle with customer service and yada, 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 et cetera, and so on. None of that worked out. But in the end, we worked our way into the Hall of Fame Club as a way of, like, retribution or whatever the word is. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. It was some of my best work, really. It's like, what you need to realize is that all we knew is that we were getting these tickets in the second deck that were going to feed us, and we would have sat downstairs. You understand? We would have sat downstairs right by third base, and we would have fed ourselves. And they're like, sorry, we can't help you. So my solution was, number one, to go just sit wherever the heck we wanted, which we did. One. Two, then when we went to check our original seats, we talked to the guy who originally helped us. He was super cool. And he led us into the Hall of Fame Club. So now we're in the Hall of Fame Club, right above home plate, looking straight down on the field. It was great seat. We were like the Bob Uecker seats. Great seats, eh, bud? But part of the benefit of...
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Right. Part of the benefit of getting the Hall of Fame Club seats is you get this wristband. And the wristband lets you into the Clevelander, which is the nightclub thing that is out there in left field at Marlins Park here in Miami. And in the Clevelander, part of this is the Major League Baseball experience, the family fun of Major League Baseball experience in this particular establishment. It is 21 and over, I believe. The fish tank. In this particular experience, there are dancing models.
Mermaids.
They're
so
not mermaids. They're just women. And they're dressed in these...
Scantily clad, painted on clothing type stuff?
They're painted, but it's not clothing. It's just paint.
Right. Body paint
from,
as clothing.
From waist up, body paint. Waist down, like a small garment.
Absolutely.
Yes. And...
like a washcloth, actually.
It was much smaller than a washcloth. And, okay, Hawk and Stuff has come in the studio with, like, some sort of authoritative look on his face, which is kind of frightening to me. Be careful, Carlos, just so you know, you're being streamed on Meerkat. Everyone is identifying
look,
you, right?
Marcos Madich says, what's up?
What's up, Marcus? Marcus finally checking out. That's Hockey Dad.
Oh, Hockey Dad.
Yeah, Madge.
Technically, you can't see me at all because it's actually pointing at you.
Okay, well, you're off camera, but what do you got? You come storming in. I'm telling my story here.
I remember
my big story.
This is very funny that you're talking about the models over in the Clevelander, because
I guess he heard about it.
Because when they were first the planning stages of what the park was going to be, we at the station, the previously known as 56 WQM, where we all used to work, some of the Marlins reps were there showing us what the stuff was going to be. What they were going to have like in the outfield, what the infield was going to look like. And they talked about the big, giant, I guess you can say, you call it a pinata, whatever it is, the thing, the mural that's out,
yeah,
out
the,
there.
Yeah, the artwork.
The artwork that blows up every single time there's a home run.
Yeah.
And they talked about how, and we're going to have a little nightclub type of thing over here. We're going to have kind of like the girls over there. And I had said, bro, you know what would be the bomb? Would be is if every time somebody hits a home run, that thing goes off, like just like you have in Milwaukee with the guy that slides down the slide, you have the dancer girls do like a conga line around that thing that takes them all the way back up to the Clevelanders. So you go out, go down, go around, and you go up. So that every single time that there's a home run, everybody goes, and here comes the girls! And you see the dancing girls all doing a
conga
line.
It's not very family-friendly. I just want to point out, like, not everyone's there to see half-naked dancing girls. Like,
yeah, it's great. Get out of here. It's Miami. It fits. It's awesome. They're in bikinis.
It does fit. They were in bikinis. They were in bikinis.
You would be wanting a home run every freaking night.
Well, we already do, and yes, that is the case. And for people who don't know, just Google the Clevelander. It's like this very old-school... South Beach bar that's right on Ocean Drive. Well, there's a second one in Marlins Park. WFO Radio, please hold. And so anyway, I'm periscoping from inside the Clevelander.
Oh, okay.
And the scene in the Clevelander of the airbrushed, body-painted dancers dancing on top of the stage was like this awesome scene, man. It was really, really cool. The kind of stuff that I guarantee if you're going through everybody on Periscope, this thing was the coolest thing that was on at the moment. And there was one dude on my Periscope. He was like looking like, wow, that's cool. And that's it. So I was disappointed that I didn't get enough people. So I shut the Periscope down.
It might have been just the time of day that when you did it, though. What
it was a Monday game against the Mets. It was a lot of, Friday nights. It's kind of lumberjack in there anyway.
Is it?
All dudes.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
Except
just
for the
bunch
girls.
Of dudes.
Bunch
girls
of dudes.
Get it for free, but there's no girls in there.
No girls.
Unfortunately, I have yet to,
bunch of dudes,
to visit the Marlins.
You haven't been to the Marlins?
No, I have not.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You're
really
missing
nice.
Out, Carlos. It's beautiful.
All right. Let's go out to the phone lines. Carlos, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Look at this. Now we know what it takes to get Carlos Hawkins stuff in the studio. Just talk about Marlins Park and girls with paint. WFO, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Joe. It's Jay Seelig. How are you, sir?
Hey, the Jay Seelig is out there. What's up, Jay?
Not too much. Sorry I didn't make it in for the first call this time.
Yeah, you were beaten. You were beaten by people. That's okay, though. It's good to mix it up, different
people. I guess I got to work on my reaction times, I got to be up there like the Sarge. And all the other guys out there, so then, I got to be on my A game sometimes. But, when you're volunteering, giving back to the community,
Oh, yes.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah, I was going to just talk last week about, Steve Burns, his passing. But
very nice tribute to Steve Burns at the start of the NASCAR race, and it's actually... It's death. What a horrible thing to discuss. And we had that great conversation with Bobby Bennett about Eric Medlin. And I actually spoke with John Medlin this week. And we talked about the afterlife and all of that stuff. But, the week after, like when the tributes were going on, and even on the Coletta Motorsports cars, burned strong. And you realize, you see the pictures and you think to yourself, wow, we've seen this guy as part of NASCAR coverage for the last, 20 years. And now he's gone. It just really makes you appreciate every second you have with your friends and your loved ones here. Even your nemesis and enemies. Like, you only get a limited amount of time here on this earth, and every second it's ticking away, and you're getting closer to the Reaper. And it's terrible.
Yeah, you're talking about that. You were talking about that. And when Senna won his last race in Australia, he kissed and made up, sort of, with Alain Prost. And because he knew that time was, time is short. You need to make peace with your enemies and all that stuff. And you're right about there being a finite amount of time on this earth, and you need to appreciate everything and everyone around you.
Every second should be spent trying your best to enjoy your life and have fun and be with friends and family. And if there are people out there that you... you hate like poison, then you shouldn't have to be around them, and you should be doing stuff that enriches your life as much as possible. And that's, that's a political conversation. That's a civilization conversation. Like, how do we achieve that where people can, everything they do, be really in the pursuit of happiness? Because soon you're going to be dead. That's it. It's very limited. You get, you get 40 good, high-quality years on the planet, and then the rest is just like anything could happen. You could drop dead any second, and it's horrible because too much time in those 40 years are spent like worrying about money, about family members. Is my kid? He's out there. He's going cray. What's up? It's just sad. We don't get to appreciate enough of it.
I've got my mom sitting here next to me, and so time to time we talk about those very things, Joe, and she's helping me to appreciate more of my life now than I ever have in my entire life. I appreciate that I get to speak to you. I get to speak to Gio. I get to, you know, cover motorsports by, you know, putting out the press releases on websites and whatnot. And it's a privilege to do these things, you know. A person gets only one chance in their lifetime to do the things that they love. And this is something that you love. Gio loves, I love, Mom loves, and we love this life, and we love what we do, and we're just going to thank God for it and just appreciate everything we got.
This is a very uplifting phone call right here, JC. Like, let me tell you, I'm like, this is positive.
Absolutely, because that's what WFO is all about, isn't it?
Isn't that, absolutely, it's a lifestyle, you know it, it's, WFO is a lifestyle, it's just not a show, it's like you're either in or you're out, you're part of the community, you're out there, you're doing, you're making it happen, you're wide open.
Amen, amen.
All right, Jay, anything amen. Else?
Take care, Joe.
Later.
God bless, Joe.
You too,
Mom,
Ma.
There.
Thanks, Ma.
Bye.
Bye. There he is, Jay Seelig's Ma. Is on there too, man. We're breaking ground here on the program. First time we heard from Mrs. Mama Seelig is on there. This is just outrageous. It's going out of control. It's spinning out of control here on the show. Tickets for Homestead Miami Speedway go on sale this Friday. We told you about that already. I was doing some Formula One research. I guess we're not going to get a hippy tippy today, huh?
No, I have nothing. But we could go over the fantasy results on our own.
Yeah, no, we're going to do that. I was kind of stalling it out for that.
No, that's it. Too, you know,
kind of stalling it out, but we'll get into the fantasy results. I really don't know what's going to happen, but we'll get into it. And there's a couple other things, like I wanted to mention. Make sure I mentioned Periscope, but I had something else I was going to throw out there. Oh, my brush with greatness of Hollywood. I really built that one up way too big.
Yeah, I get the feeling it's going to be anticlimactic.
Totally. Oh, well... Then I will be conveying the story perfectly then. Perfectly. What's up to all the meerkats out there? People watching on the Meerkast. Weekly winner following the Pontiac Excitement 400 at Richmond International Raceway. What is it? The Toyota Owners 400. Rudolph Motorsports 1264. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
I've never said that name ever.
That's... Why I'm kind of
Rudolph
surprised.
Motorsports. Like, is that like comes, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Comes
is
from
like,
out of nowhere.
Mortimer and Randolph Duke. Is that like Willie Randolph? Maybe it's Willie Randolph.
No, this is Rudolph, not Randolph.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe it's Wilma Rudolph. Wasn't she like a track star?
Got me.
351, just barely by a whisker, edging out Miss Little Low. Miss Little Low with her best performance in the WFO Fantasy League to date. Just a tremendous performance by the young lady out there in Tucson, Arizona, where I will be going this weekend, incidentally. I'm going to be in Tucson, Arizona for 11 minutes, beginning on Friday. Kind of a cool thing. That is true. Team Strange, 343. Team English, 339. That's what it is. Mike English is texting me. And he's like, me and Mindy are now ahead of you in the Fantasy League, and ha-ha, and the whole thing, and I'm worried about other stuff, so I wasn't thinking about it. But now I know why. This guy scored 339. He had a huge day. Super Crash is fifth, 337. The Restrictor played 335.
Hey.
This guy's still playing. Federal Racing, 334. Team Jimmy J, 333. Moonchild, 329, tied with the Rumblers. There's your top 10. The most points is Rudolph Motorsports, 1264. That's 351. The biggest gainer is Team Strange, up 20 positions. And the biggest loser is Here's Hopin, down 32 positions. That's a lot. The overall leader continues to be the Rumblers. Up 77 points on DRT99 and 103 on Up and Smoke, who is in third. Mr. Where Did He Come From is fourth. Hooper is fifth. That's Pauly the White Guy, you know.
I can't believe it.
No.
He's not going to have any allocations left for the
I've been telling him.
For the run.
Pauly the White Guy is our great friend, of course. He's the one who says, hey, come to the Marlin game. And if you ever hear one of the Yankee Roll Call shows, he is the co-host.
If you ever do another one.
Great guy. He's very knowledgeable in various sports, and he's been in our league for a while, but I... Chastigated him, is that the right word? For, or is it castigated him? For quitting every year. He starts out and then he quits. I'm like, look, man, Don't quit. Try your best. Try to do it. And so this year is the year of actual trying for Paulie the White Guy. He claims that he is saving his drivers. Rich and Saga 6th. Tennessee Moneyman 7th. Fuel Tank Gambler 8th. Robertson Racing 9th. And 10th is JR2448. Now, on the fives. Five Can Drive is 15th. Just missed Los Chincones. Sorry, Lo. 20th is JG24LKB.
What about 22? Who was 22 this week?
What is 22 this week?
You fairy.
Fairy Dust. Who was catching all kinds of heck from everybody in the WFO Facebook group, which, you know, the group, it's like we'll go for a little while and then everybody abandons it, and then it'll go for a little while and everyone abandons it. I don't know how we get the Facebook group to be better. We got like 300 people that are part of the group.
Everybody's got the all-direction drive in this show.
That's what it is. It's ADD, full-time. All-direction drive. 25th is Barbecue Bob. Little Low is 26th. I just want to mention the kids, all you kids out there. Team Jimmy J is 30th. One ahead of Restrictor Plate. Lady Oz is 35th. Did I say 35th twice?
No.
Okay. 40th is Team English. One position ahead of Geo Racing. 45th is Bulls Wool down in Australia. 50th is the Northwest Nitro Fanatics, behind Smothered and Covered and Flashover, but ahead of Checkers and Wreckers. 55th, WFO Joe, baby, I made the mentions.
Look at that.
On the fives, right behind Mattitude and ahead of Woodchuck. Take that, Woodchuck. I'm still ahead of you after plummeting.
You guys, 25
positions. How could I stink so bad?
You didn't set your team.
I did set my team.
Wow. Well, you should be embarrassed to say that you set the
team. I set my team. I did. I don't know what happened. Aviator Racing, 60th. Miss Little Low is still down at 61st, even after her tremendous performance. 65th, X90 LS1 Racing. I think that's Mattman. I saw Mattman out there. Mattman was sporting his WFO radio shirt. Mattman has got like a Suzuki Sidekick. Mattman is dropping an LS engine in the Suzuki Sidekick, and he's going to try to snap it in half and flip it over backwards. We want video, Mattman. We want video of the whole thing. We'll give it to our great friends on Bang Shift. 70th is 48, Never Stop Improving, and Car 24. 75th, Here's Hoping. 80th, Eat My Dust. That's Mrs. Moneyman, enjoying just a wonderful year. Rudolph Motorsports 1264, after their great day, only gained 9 positions.
They must have been way down there.
JJ 48 Rocks is 85th. 90th is the Dirty Hippies, just total fail. 95th is PDX Paddy Wagon, and dead last is Car Acrobatic Team. And Pugzilla is still struggling to stay ahead of the Car Acrobatic Team.
But they still are. They still got a good 150-point lead.
They're doing a good job, man. They're doing a good job. They're holding on.
That is pretty humorous.
Don't get passed by the Car Acrobatic Team.
Now, the hippie didn't call in. The hippie has got... He's flailing away in 90th percentile.
That's it. He's going off into the world of embarrassment.
I mean, can we start taking his name off the plaque for being this bad?
Let's get the grinder out. Just grind it down. That's the thing, is you don't want to destroy your legacy in the league because you could come off the trophy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he had a bad week in everything. The guy, he didn't have a good week picking a matchup.
I think he's having some stress problems. You know, he's dealing with work-related stress and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's good to be rich is what they say. I don't know.
That's what they say. Who knows? All right, so this week's Hippy Tippy, Gio and I will do our best impression of Rich of the Dirty Hippies. Ready? This is Dirty Hippies, and here's your tip of the week. Headed to Talladega for Restrictor Plate Racing. So this might be one of the times where you could use Danica, Hendrick Motorsports car. She just stays in the draft, doesn't do anything, and can still finish in the top 10. She doesn't get caught up in the big one. Other drivers you might consider, Landon Castle, because, you know, whatever. This is Dirty Hippies, and that's your tip of the week. How was that?
That was great.
It was good enough?
Yeah, somewhat.
Better than
nothing. I mean, yeah. Nah, I don't know about better than nothing.
Did anybody make the calls? Did Bob Smith and Tommy Noodles make the calls? Or are we just totally, like, is this a total fail what's happening right here? The whole show has come crumbling down upon us.
Wow, this is terrible.
I know.
I don't need to make a call. I'm right here and you're here.
Yeah, we can. We're the real
I do got to say, I don't know if Bob made his call yet.
Real disappointing. No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did at all. So the plan was to come back with the picks, which we will when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and the Dragster Adventure Get Out the Envelope. Yes, we're all saving up together. We're putting fives and tens and twenties in the envelope to save up for the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Yes, it is a great program that travels around the country. They're headed to Houston, Texas, to follow up the NHRA race at Royal Purple Raceway. If you're down there in that part of the country, by all means, give them a call. Call Frank. Say, hey, Frank, Joe's always talking about the Dragster Adventure. It sounds like something I'd like to do. How do I do it? And they will put you in the right direction. They'll put you on the right track. You hear Jack Beckman in the spots. Beckman, this guy's a super comp champ. He's a funny car champ. They wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't over-the-top fun. Like, why wouldn't you want to drive a rear-engine dragster? Why wouldn't you want to get out there and control your own destiny? You're in a roll cage. You're accelerating really quick, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds to 130 in, like, 10 seconds. And then back down to zero, which is a lot of the fun, too. Hitting the brakes and slowing down. And then you get to do it multiple times. You can even race each other. They've got all kinds of programs for corporations, like groups, your church group, a sales group. You can reward your clients. Like if they're okay clients, you can get them a Rodax holiday kit. And if they're great clients, you can get them Frank Hawley's Adventure. 866-480-7223. Courses start at $399. That's the reason I say they have to be great clients or friends or family members or a bachelor party. Gio said last week, that's not how he wants to spend a bachelor party. He wants to be in some sort of, dark alley at like 3 a.m.
I didn't want to be in the dark alley. I said I wanted to be at the Center for the Performing Arts.
Regardless, there's something for everyone, and the Dragster Adventure is definitely something you want to do in your lifetime. So stuff something in that envelope. Check it out. Hopefully you're doing it. Hopefully you're not forcing me to absolutely just waste my time in this envelope. Do you think anyone's got an envelope?
Absolutely. Everyone's got an envelope.
Now, do you really? Come on. Like, don't try to make me feel better about this, because,
No,
obviously, I'm trying to make the spots entertaining for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, but I'm pretty serious about this. I think that
I don't think everyone's got an envelope, but I do think that those that are interested have taken out the envelope and made it and listened to the spot, because that's the easiest way to do it. Oh, yeah, just put, X amount every week, a 10, a 5 spot, a 20, a dime, a nickel, whatever you got, and that's it.
And that's it. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Get him on there. 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure. WFO, who's on the WFO line?
Bob Smith.
Bob Smith has joined us. Wow, it's amazing. Like a beacon has fired into the sky, and you saw it, and you called, just as we were wondering if you were going to call.
Of course.
Well, it's right before the break, so we're going to put you on hold, and we won't be able to hear you. You'll be able to hear the great spots, and when we come back, we'll make our picks. Are you ready?
Sounds good.
All right, Bob Smith going on hold. WFO going on break. We'll be back with the picks for
this
Talladega.
Is WFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. There's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for Rodax coffeeandgrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're betting in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease it.
Vegas, baby, Vegas. Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week once again where the WFO Radio Handicappers pick you winners against the Vegas odds as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting. This time for the Geico 500 at Talladega. Talladega Super Speedway, the longest track on the tour. A little restrictor plate racing, a little FFRR. It's good for the soul. And before we go any farther, he joins us now all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, Bob Smith. Bob, welcome back.
Hey, guys. WFO.
WFO. And this week, folks, Bob has also sent us the odds for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, which we will also make a pick in the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight just because it's going to be the biggest thing on the face of the earth, biggest pay-per-view in history, and biggest everything. What's the buzz like out there, Bob?
So far, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, anytime there's even a hint that these boxers may appear somewhere, instant flash mob.
Really?
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
No, this is the biggest thing that has ever happened. I mean, you know, we can go back through history and talk about big events. And as big as the Super Bowl is and all, and it is huge with all the media glitz and hype and everything. But throughout history, the biggest events have been like boxing matches. And this is going to prove, I think, we'll see, maybe I'm wrong, that it is still, when you get a compelling matchup, it's still has the ability to draw. I'm predicting the largest pay-per-view take in the history of the world. What?
History of the world.
Yes, in the history of the world, of the earth, since the stars, like the Big Bang. This is it. This is going to be the biggest pay-per-view. They've got HBO and Showtime showing this thing. I mean, what does that tell you?
That there's a lot of money at stake.
The next day, after the fight is over, we'll be watching a little Talladega. And here are the odds. Now, how come nobody picked the winner? How come nobody picked Kurt Busch? What was up with that?
I got close yet last week.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm never allowed to talk about what day the race is going to be run again.
Yeah.
Even my wife gave me grief. She's like, next time, just shut up.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. Saturday night racing, it's going to be great. I get to do nothing on Sunday. And it's
well,
Sunday.
Yeah, we made a big thing about the Saturday night too, Bob.
Well, there's no way to know. There's no way to know that Mother Nature is going to punch you in the face. Which is exactly what happened. Here are the odds for the Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. The folks at William Hill, the home of betting, see co-favorites of Dale Jr. and Kevin Harvick at 10-1. How'd you come up with that?
Just because it's Talladega and Jr., and then Harvick has just been on fire so much lately. He's got to be up there, too.
Maybe the most dominant period in the modern era, these last group of races.
I would agree.
Gio's working
on the
stats.
On a roll.
He's crunching the numbers right now. Brad Kay, Jimmy Johnson, Joy, Matt Kenseth, Jeff Gordon, and Kurt Busch are all at 12-1, and the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. That's it. So you basically see all of these guys as virtually co-favorites, virtually equal.
It's Talladega. And on these restrictor plate races, anybody can win this thing.
At 15-1, the dark horses. And is it just me? Rich and Saugus tweeted at me, one of our loyal listeners and the winner of the first ever WFO Radio Kumite, that now the NASCAR guys are doing odds, Vegas odds. They're showing the odds. They're doing it. They're making two picks, the favorite and the dark horse. And people are starting to realize that that's a WFO bit going back 10 years. They picked it up on TV without giving us the appropriate credit. What is our recourse? What can we do?
Well, the thing to remember is that imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Yes.
So when you see them doing that, just say, you're welcome.
Success leaves tracks. That's what the folks at the General Counsel Club say, and it is so true. Denny Hamlin, Casey Kane, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr. are all 15-1. At 18-1, you've got Kyle Larson. At 20-1, you've got Clint Bowyer, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, David Ragan, all at 20-1. At 30-1, you've got Tony Stewart and Greg Biffle, and Giovanni in Miami just doesn't understand how David Ragan could be a better odds than Tony Stewart. Please explain to him, Bob.
It's what have you done for me lately? Yes, Tony Stewart is a great driver, but if you look at the year that he's been having, it just seems that everything is going against him. Not necessarily his team, but, you know, everything's been going against him personally.
What did you think about the way he blamed Dale Jr. for that incident?
I didn't understand that at all. And, you know, I'm not afraid to say, hey, it was Jr.'s fault if it was Jr.'s fault. But I watched it again, and I don't see where, you know, it's Junior's fault at all. He helped his line. He was trying not to get hit himself. I didn't see where Junior did anything wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking to myself. I was saying, self, what's going on here with that? And then Gio is over there. He's got this smirk on his face. It's a smirk. Look, why did that happen, Gio? What's going on over there? Why would he do something so mean to poor Dale Jr.? You know, this kid's out here just racing, trying to have fun. Whatever. Greg Biffle, 30-1, 40-1. Paul Menard, Austin Dillon, 40-1. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the boyfriend, 40-1. Michael Waltrip and A.J. Allmendinger is 50-1, also 50-1. You've got Eric Almirola and Danica and Sam Hornish Jr. Danica is a co-equal 50-1 with Michael Waltrip and Sam Hornish Jr. and Eric Almirola and A.J. Allmendinger. What does that tell us?
Anybody can win.
Anybody can win this race.
Yeah, and the field is 20-1. Danica, of course, losing her GoDaddy sponsorship. We'll get into that after the picks. And who goes first? Bob Smith goes first.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Although I didn't win last week, I got close. I tried hard.
Yes, you definitely get a trophy for participation. Let's get out Bob Smith's participation trophy. Oh, yeah, there's not
Thank
one.
You.
Go ahead.
Thank you. All right. For my favorite, I looked at going with Junior, and I thought about going with Junior. But as well as he does here, he doesn't get the W's as much as I'd like. So I'm going to go with a guy that's been getting W's. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. He's got the hot hand. I'm going to continue to play it.
Harvick. I like that pick. How could you not?
Now, for my dark horse, I thought about going with some of these guys in the 15-1, but I went down a little bit further. I went with Clint Bowyer. Historically, he's done pretty well here. I haven't been as impressed with him so far this year, but I'm hoping that this race gets him right back in the groove.
What was that, Clint Bowyer?
Yes, it was.
Wow, Clint Bowyer. And Clint Bowyer is 20-1. Bob Smith takes Kevin Harvick at 10-1 and Clint Bowyer at 20-1 for his picks. Now going second, Tommy Noodles was knocked off the top. Did Tommy Noodles make his picks,
I'm
guys?
Second.
You're second? Because I'm searching for Tommy Noodles' picks.
That's because he didn't pick.
Oh, well, that makes a whole lot of sense then. Giovanni is up next. Go ahead, Gio.
Well, all right, all right, all right. We're headed to Talladega, the longest track on the circuit, coming from the short tracks of Bristol and Martinsville and Richmond. We get right back on the biggest and baddest and restricted plate racing. And it's a crapshoot. It's throw the dice. And I gave a hint there. I'm going with Dale. Why not? Dale Jr., last year he won at the 500. This year he wins at Talladega. Brings it home with the favorite, co-favorite, Dale Jr. And for the long shot, I'm going with Mr. Boyfriend himself, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. It's anybody can win. I figured 40-1 is a nice shot. If I was out there over there at Bob's, I would probably take a flyer at a couple of these other ones like Almirola or even Danica herself. Got great equipment. We've seen Harvick and we've seen Kurt run well all year long. But at these kind of tracks, like I said, restrictor plate, we've seen it with the odds. No one in triple numbers. The highest is 50-1. Anybody, just about anybody could win. I'd say there's really, 28, 30 cars that could really win. And I like Junior this weekend to bring it home. Talladega. Why not?
Wow. Talladega. I love it. I hope that is true. That would be great if Gio won and Dale Jr. makes the chase like that. That would be so great. Well, that who was your second one? The Ricky Stenhouse?
Yes,
I think
Mr. Boyfriend.
That's a little questionable.
What are you talking about? He runs well here. He always runs well on restricted plates.
Maybe. I just, the big, the Patrick Swayze super mullet is getting out of control. Unless he's cut it since I last saw that photograph. All right, so we're skipping Tommy Noodles, I guess, and that leaves me. Okay, I Talladega, it's very tough. You leave me with very limited choices, but there are some good ones. Kurt Busch is on the table. Jeff Gordon is on the table. Joy is on the table. Brad Kay is on the table. And I've been picking Brad Kay, and it's just not been working out. So I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to take...
Go for it.
The guy that I'm going to pick...
Okay.
Well, it's tough. I haven't made my picks yet. I'm going with Jeff Gordon. Boom. Give me Gordo to get his first win. Why not? If there's any place that Gordon's going to go out and punch it into the winner's circle, even though he's got the senioritis, meaning senior in high school, like he's like, my last year. 12-1, Jeff Gordon. That is my favorite. Now the dark horse. This one is a lot different because... you guys believe in Denny Hamlin and Casey Kane and Carl Edwards. Come on, guys. Carl Edwards, plate track. Gibbs stuff. But I'm actually going to go with a guy who somehow just always figures out how to win these races. And you know what? I'm not going to do that. I was going to pick Jamie McMurray, but I'm switching. I'm flipping the script. Last second. You know who I'm going with, Bob?
Danica.
Tony Stewart.
Oh.
Yeah. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I only kid because I love. And I really think that Tony Stewart is very frustrated, but this is a package that he can manage, the plate racing. This is not the new deal that he's not used to, and it's not the new deal that he hates. This is something he is very familiar with, plate racing. He can do this, and I think he knows that this race is one that he's got to win, and if he wins it, guess what? He can spend the rest of the season figuring out the package and go on and win the championship and show all these people like Gio, who's been saying he's washed up, that he's not. So give me Tony Stewart at 30-1. And a real vote of confidence for Tony Stewart, the main man. And there you have it. Those are the picks for the Geico 500. Take me to the action. Take me to the track. We got to talk about Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. This guy
is...
I don't know.
The fight of the century.
Okay, Bob, I had the odds, but now they're missing again. Because I'm battling. It's like I'm losing this battle against these odds. They keep disappearing. I tried to pin them out, but they wouldn't print. Do you have the odds in front of you, Bob?
I just had the fight itself.
Okay, give it to us.
The Mayweather is -2-1, which means you put up 20, you're going to win 10. And like Pacquiao.
That's heavily favorited for Mayweather.
Mayweather's still a pretty big favorite. If you like Pacquiao, you're getting plus 185, which means if you bet 10, you're going to win 1850 plus your 10 back.
Okay, and I saw that there are some props as well.
There's tons of props. There's more props on this fight than I've ever seen on any other fight.
Give me some examples of a prop.
You can pick which fighter in which round. You can pick, you know, the method of win. Will it be by decision? Will it be a TKO? Will it be a draw? We've had some people bet the draw. It started at 18-1 with us. We were down to 9-1. So a lot of people have been betting the draw.
Wow.
This is the first fight. They're going to fight to a draw, and then they can have the other fight of the century next year.
Oh,
I don't
necessarily
agree, but it's a possibility.
I don't think Floyd Mayweather is going to want a draw on his record.
He wants that zero losses.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to want the draw.
Okay, so let's start off with Giovanni in Miami. Gio, do you have a thought? Do you care? Like, give me what's your breakdown on the fight of the century?
Well, I hadn't actually considered the conspiracy theorist, but as much as Money Mayweather does love that undefeated record, I think he loves the money more.
He'll get the money anyway. That doesn't factor in. If he beats Pacquiao, he can invite him back to try again.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go with the underdog here. Let's go with Pacquiao to do a decision there at the end, you know?
So Gio takes Pac-Man by decision. Okay? I'm writing all this down because this is big right here. This is a big current event here. Okay, Gio, Pac-Man, decision. All right, Bob Smith, you're next.
I'm going to take Mayweather by decision.
Bob, Money Mayweather, decision. And Racer Joe.
Come on, Joe, you're the deciding factor here.
Me and Bob, Floyd Mayweather, are you kidding me? A lot of people are rooting against Floyd. I'm running into everybody. Paul, the white guy the other day, hates Floyd Mayweather, hates him the way he talks, hates the way... I don't hate Floyd Mayweather. I know he's had some questionable things go on, of course. But, hey, man, Money Mayweather. I think I'm with Floyd Mayweather, and regardless of who I'm rooting for, because I like Manny Pacquiao, too. He sings. He's got some stuff. He does. He's got, like, pop hits over there. I'm going to just enjoy a good fight. Great boxing match, you know, Queensberry rules. Not this barefoot, foot-in-your-face stuff flopping all over the mat. But give me Floyd Mayweather by decision. But is it unanimous decision? What do you think? What's the story with that, Bob? Do we have to say whether it's going to be unanimous or whether it's going to be split?
I haven't seen that one, but that wouldn't surprise me. If you want to, you know, I'll have to talk to them. Maybe they want to put that one up there, too.
Do you think there'll be a knockdown?
You can bet that. I don't remember the prices off the top of my head, but you can bet either. If there be a knockdown, you can bet, you know, who will be knocked down. So, I mean, there's all kinds of props available. So please make sure you check, you know, whatever you're interested in, it's probably up there.
William Hill, the home of betting. And no, will the fight end in a draw? No, is minus 1,600. So
it was.
Wow.
It was down to 900.
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. So Bob takes Money Mayweather, Joe takes Money Mayweather, and Gio goes the other way. The contrarian goes Pac-Man. Hey, Pac-Man. That's cool. All right. And now, the next in our troika of picks, who will be the number one pick in the NFL draft on Thursday night? Bob Smith, go.
We're going to go with FSU. There's no doubt about that.
Famous Jameis.
Famous Jameis. What about you? You think really?
Oh,
you
totally
think Famous Jameis is going to be
Tampa
number
Bay
one pick?
Famous Jameis.
Really?
Yeah, they'd be silly not to.
Okay. Well, I don't really know. I was just kind of throwing it out there because it's the third other big thing. There's Talladega, there's the Mayweather Pac-Man fight, and there's the NFL draft.
I can't believe you forgot the other big
race. Derby. Where are the odds?
I'm working on it.
Oh,
then
my goodness.
I got an email that said I needed a call.
You know, I've hit four derbies in a row, and I won't be able to go and bet the derby this year.
I'll shoot it out to you as soon as I get off the phone.
Who do you like, Bob? Who do you like? Give us a little taste. Who do you like?
I like Frosted. You're going to get at least 15-1, and I think because most of the betting public is going to go with the favorites. American Pharoah is a phenomenal horse.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally don't like it. I like Frosted. I'm getting 15-1. I'm getting great odds. I love that. The other horse that's going to get a lot of attention is it's a knockout. with the boxing tie-in, they're going to bet that horse like crazy. I don't think he's got a chance to win because he's like a 30-40-1 favorite. But you know what? With a name like that on such a big fight of the century day, people are going to bet him.
Interesting. The Derby. Oh, man, I'm going to be in Tucson, Arizona for the Derby. I'm going to miss the Derby for the first time in many, many years. Bob, great job as usual. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Enjoy the races, guys. All the races and the fight.
And the fight. The races and the fight and all of it. Bob, great job. Thank you. There he goes. Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting. Vegas, baby, Vegas. Well, that's something. So I mentioned that I'm going to Tucson, Arizona this week because I've got a gig doing something kind of cool. There is a super, what is it? It's a Chevy Manufacturer Series race where all the Chevrolets come out from the local area and they got a car show and everything and they're doing a TV show there. And I'm going to be hosting the TV show. Hey, we're here at Tucson Dragway, and we're going to check out Chevrolets. And we're going to go, look, this is a Chevrolet Nova. And Giovanni has a Chevrolet Nova. Giovanni, when did you get the Chevrolet Nova? Oh, man, I got it a long time ago. It was great. Oh, okay, that's great. And going to be going around and doing it. It's going to be on-camera work, hosting the TV show, which I am just super excited and thrilled to be doing. As, you know, I continue to evolve this broadcast career that I'm doing. I'm figuring about another 100 years, I will be hosting American Idol. And supplant that guy that, you know.
That's it, 100 years?
Yeah.
That's right around the corner.
Snapping up things left and right.
Absolutely.
But things could have gone a lot better. I could have been a lot more advanced if I had just had some good luck this past weekend. I was at Royal Purple Raceway, and they were filming a show for the Discovery Network family of channels called, I don't know what the name of it was. But it's starring Idris Elba. Do you know who Idris Elba is?
I do. I believe I do.
Who do you think he is?
Tall, skinny, dark guy?
He's not skinny.
He appears... Okay, but tall, dark fella?
A big brother.
Yep.
Right, except he's from London, so, you know.
He was in the Thor movies.
He played Shere Khan in The Jungle Book, which is a cartoon, but it was his voice. He was in The Wire. He was Nelson Mandela in The Long Walk to Freedom. This guy is like you shake your head like Mandela.
Yeah,
I've never heard of this Mandela. But you can imagine anybody who plays iconic world leaders has got to be a pretty A-list actor. You know, they don't just like throw somebody in those roles. The guy who is playing Mandela or Dr. Martin Luther King or something like that. You know, John F. Kennedy. They don't take guys like that and hand it to the role to some schlepper. This guy is A++ on the list of actors. And he is out at the track with Antron Brown. And they're working on a new show for the Discovery Network. And the show is basically, he goes to different motorsports, gets a brief amount of training, and tries to compete against the people who are there doing it. Okay? And so, I don't want to give too much away because maybe I could get in trouble for doing that, but I was there and I saw all this that I'm going to tell you. So the show is going on and whatever, and they decide that they need an end to the show. They need a big end after the race. They're going to have a race. And at the end, someone's going to win the race. And maybe it's going to be Idris Elba. Maybe. But probably not. Because the real racers are in every sport are going to eat him up. And that's fine. So suddenly this talk, there's a little buzz going on, a little buzz about like maybe we got an idea here. And so then they come to me and they say, listen, we can see you're an entertainer. That's a quote. We have decided that the best ending to this show would be for you to present the trophy to the winner and interview the winner and then speak on camera with Idris Elba about his experience to conclude the thing. And, you know, and then I hold his arm up in the air like he's the champion. Like, who's the big winner in the casino tonight? Idris is the big winner. And, you know, I'm going to get a little jingle for it. But more importantly, I'm thinking, this is it, man. This is what's going to propel me to the top. I have a speaking scene with an A-list actor, Idris Elba. I'm going to be on scene with this guy. We're going to be on the set together. We're going to be talking. We're going to be hobnobbing. He'll think I'm cool. Maybe he'll want me to be in some other movies. Maybe I could be in Thor 3 or one of the other ones. This is it. This is how it happens. You're in the right place at the right time. And the next thing you know, boom, Vinny Chase. And so now I'm stoked. And I go into my moves. I go and I kind of clean up and I go into prep. And I'm practicing my lines that I have got to make up on the fly. The new Alante. See who gets that one.
I get it.
You better. Anyway, so I'm kind of stoked about it. And time is going by, though, and the racing is taking a little bit longer. And I am me, so I don't ever get too excited because I know that, of course, if I do, things are going to fall all apart. And time is going by, and as it turns out, they scratched the scene. And cut my legs out from under me. And all my house of cards comes tumbling down. And you know, I'm sad to report, you know, I didn't get the huge opportunity to be on the scene with the A-list actor.
Oh, terrible.
And the Vinny Chase thing, is, you know, and it just didn't happen. Just
that's it. No Queens Boulevard for you, bud.
No. No Queens Boulevard. No Aquaman. No nothing. Bummer, man. It's a bummer. Real bummer. But hey, I had a good time, and it was, you know, it was just as good being selected. Does anybody believe that? Nobody does. Nobody does. Brian Spink thinks it's funny that we're referencing Strange Brew. Take off, eh, you hoser? Yeah, he thinks it's great. So does Nitro Green. Loves that, too. Everybody loves the McKenzie Brothers. The McKenzie Brothers were one of the, like, the backbones of my early young person humor. I love them. Like, there's one that they could have definitely done a new sequel to, or they could bring it back. But Rick Moranis, you know, he was just too good in that. Here's a story. Race Guitar sent us the Jerry Bunkowski story about Brian France saying that the races should be shorter. I think, generally speaking, we want to see shorter events, but not in every circumstance. It's no secret that attention spans, especially with the millennial fans, are changing, and we know that. But what we like about it from our standpoint is it makes the actual racing event better because there's no lull in between the beginning and the end. Or there's a lot smaller lull, so teams have to compete. This is great and annoying at the same time. Isn't this exactly what we've been saying on WFO Radio for like 10 years? So the trickle-down effect from WFO to NASCAR is clearly working. They're adopting all of our policy prescriptions here on the show. Step by step by step, they're adopting all of our policy prescriptions on the show. What does it tell you? It tells you that when you listen to WFO, you are directly channeled what are they directly channeled into, Gio?
Into the know-how of how things should be
the brain
and how they're going to be.
Exactly.
We are like the brainstem over here.
We are. It's like the Matrix. It's like right where everything happens. It's like this is how it should be, and they clearly understand it because they're doing everything we say. And I think it's great. He's right. He's right about everything. Brian France is right. He is the manager of the century so far. All these other people. Anything else, Gio, that we need to talk about? We didn't get into Formula One. There's no Formula One race.
There's no race until May 10th in Spain, so, I mean, there is, and there was no race this weekend.
There was a story from the 23rd, which is a while ago, and this ad, that was me, is an ad on this, but Mika Hakkinen talking again about how Alonso is talking about retirement. The word retirement is being thrown out there.
I just think that was Mika saying that Alonso made a mistake and more kind of reiterating that.
That he might not be up to this massive task. That he's already talking about retirement and he wants out.
Retire.
That's a crazy thing.
Increíble.
Special paint scheme for Dale Jr. in the All-Star race.
Today, Dale Senior Day.
Today is Dale Earnhardt Day. You know, it was a time where every time on Dale Earnhardt's birthday and, of course, Daytona 500, we would take some special time and remember and think back. And, you know, we do. But at some point, it just gets sad. Because Dale should still be with us, is the answer to the question.
Ah, you know, we all. That's all. It's going to be the end of us all, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like the Jay Selig and Mom Selig did point out to us that, you know, every moment that you are on this earth, you need to absolutely enjoy it. And don't let the, you know, the mean-spirited folks get you down. because, you know, you're not getting any...
It's about the journey, not the destination.
You are. You're not getting any extra time, people.
There you go. That's
They're
it.
Not getting anything. And the time you do get is worth a whole lot less. You know, you're going to be the tail end of the last 20 years. You're going to be old, folded
and
over.
And you youngsters out there, careful with your decision-making, because they tell you life is short, but it's really not if you make a bunch of bad decisions.
I tried putting that on Patrick, the webmaster's daughters. You know, the, hey, I'm a new person who's just kind of walked in for 20 minutes. Let me, you know, give you some sage advice kind of stuff. Because I went and hung out with Patrick the webmaster, you know, teenage
probably
girls.
Probably sounded like that old angry guy.
Of course. That's exactly how it was taken. I was totally the old angry guy trying to tell the young people how to live. And, you know, I know.
I just tell my nieces and nephews, don't get pregnant.
Yeah, that's what we told Patrick the webmaster's daughter, too. Everyone was, that's it. That's it.
I'm like, I'm not telling you not to do anything, just don't get pregnant.
All you kids out there, seriously, no joke. I know we're talking an adult theme thing and we don't really do that too often.
Oh my God.
That's it. There it is. If you want the number one thing to worry about, that's it. And the rest may fall into place. But the second you have a child, your life is over for all intents and purposes. You're now focused on this child, and it needs you, and it wants you, and it doesn't care that you're 19 or 20 or 22 or don't know who you are or haven't lived yet. It doesn't care. It needs food and milk, and it's got to go to the bathroom. You need to change its diaper.
Stop. You're bringing back bad memories.
I'm telling everybody out there, all the young people, this is very serious stuff.
It's not anymore. Just go have fun. Don't get pregnant. There's a time and a place for everything. It's called college. Wait till you get there.
Here are the horses in the Kentucky Derby. You want to hear them?
I hear him. I know there's one. I saw the first name. I looked it up. It's Ocho.
50-1.
Ocho.
Oh, that
could be the one, man. I'm going to have to throw $10 at that guy.
Carpe Diem. 8-1.
Really?
Yes.
It's Carpe Diem.
Carpe Diem.
All right.
C-A-R-P-E.
Yes. You do realize what that means, right?
Seize the day.
Thank you.
But why are you saying carp? Like a fish?
No. Not like a mackerel.
Materiality, 12-1. Tansender, 30-1. Danzig Moon.
Oh, mother!
Mubtaj.
What's up with the names of these?
El Kabir, 30-1. Mubtaj is 20-1. Danzig Moon is 30-1. Tansender is 30-1. I'm not doing it right. Dortmund. Right?
Dortmund? Yeah, he's 3-1. That's
3-1, Dortmund.
We should definitely know his name if he's the favorite.
Dortmund. Bolo, 30-1. Firing Line, 12-1. Stanford, 30-1.
That's a really smart horse, I heard.
International Rising Star. I'm sorry, International Star. International Star, 20-1. It's a Knockout, all one word. 30-1. Keen Ice, 50-1. Bob Smith's pick, Frosted, 15-1. Let me tell you, I might have to play that. 15-1, Frosted. War Story, 50-1. Mr. Z, 50-1. American Pharaoh.
Oh, that's the real
5-2. Wow, American Pharaoh. Upstart, 15-1. Far Right, 30-1. Framento, what does AE mean?
I have no idea.
And Tale of Verve are both 50-1, and those are the horses in the Derby. Who's riding Frosted? Rosario. Castellano's on Materiality. Gary Stevens is on Firing Line. Huh. Interesting.
Which is the Baffert horses.
Yeah. We would like to, well, exactly. We need to know. We have to look up Frosted. But there you go. We've covered all the degenerates today. Gio, anything else we need to get to before you hit the music?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Well, I've got plenty of music, so go ahead.
Well, weren't you thanks to the folks at Clearside?
I saw the picture of Jeff Gordon with the Corvette, and it appears to be a brand, one of those new 2015 ones. But as I tried to do a little research, it doesn't confirm it anywhere. But him next to the picture of the car, it is one of those 2015.
It is a Corvette. That's
yes.
Cool. Okay.
I didn't have much on anything else. You know, you brought it in. Lots of stuff for the weekend. Fight of the decade. Fight of the century. Fight of the millennium.
Inevitably, if there's something that we forgot or didn't get to, we'll get to it next week. NHRA is off. I will be in Tucson, Arizona, filming the Chevrolet Manufacturer Series program. Of course, we'll let you know where to do it. Check out our sponsors, guys, the General Counsel Club. It's very good information. If you've got a business, if you're thinking of starting a business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you, you know...
Sign up for the newsletter. Do it now.
Absolutely. Sign up for the newsletter. Do it now. Rodex Coffee, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the folks at YourVelocity.com. Have you checked them out? You hear Larry Dixon doing the spots? It's a great resource. There's all kinds of information on there. Again, for the doers and go-getters of the world. Weren't you going to give us who finished first, Danica or Stenhouse? Will you
no,
do that
I
by next
you
week?
I was not going to do that.
Can you promise
week?
For next week?
Look, I'm not promising anything, but I'll try to remember.
Why do you hate the WFO audience?
It's not the audience I hate.
So anyway, I guess that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.